smoking.
Hey, good news, guys. All of that was lost.
Oh, no.
Oh, well, better luck next time.
It'll be in the archives that come out 30 years from now.
Nope, let's recreate it again. Let's recreate it again, scene for scene, except ironically.
Okay.
Well, so that they won't know when they're listening.
Isn't Doug the best?
No. We have to do it exactly as we did, except we're all doing it ironically. And the only way you'll know is that our voice will be a little bit higher.
I can't do the guitar thing again because I already feel my voice leaving.
So what are we
well,
doing
gentlemen,
that?
I am so sorry about that. Jeff Brewer.
Hey.
Strumming What's on up? A trash can.
No, I'm banging on a trash can.
Oh, okay.
Get out of here.
Strumming
You're
on a
like
street
Doug,
light.
Asshole.
Sorry.
He never gave it a chance. Now we know why he doesn't like it.
That's right.
They're in the big suits. Remember when they're in the big suits? I do.
Nope.
They're thinking big.
James Shearer.
Hi-o!
How many times did you complete Legend of the Hidden Temple?
The Hyman
Shrine of the Silver Monkey is a mortal foe.
I can't remember how many times I've surmounted the Hyman Temple. But
what was that guy's
Snake
name?
Was involved. Wait, which one's Silver Snake? Damn. So,
what was the name of the host? Like Kurt Loder? No, wait, that's the MTV guy. What was
the
his name?
The host was
Child Toucher.
Kurt Cobain is obviously not it. Kurt Loder did the MTV news.
The MTV guy.
He was the 50-year-old guy reading the news in the 90s.
I want them to bring him back.
He I think it was so it was Stone Zordon. That was his name.
Oh, Mac.
Yeah, that one.
It's actually the same dude.
They're cousins. Anyway, this is Boss Barrel Radio, and I am Griff. Rocco's Modern Life is the best show that was ever on Nickelodeon. Hoffman.
You just redeemed yourself a little bit.
Yeah. A small amount.
No, it's the best show that's ever been on. That's why it's my middle name.
I think the best show was actually Rocket Power.
The best Nickelodeon show was Pete and Pete, hands down. Filmed in Maplewood, New Jersey.
Yep.
My private trumpet teacher instructed them on the episode where they did the marching band episode. Like, he was the consulting person for that episode.
Nice.
Wow.
You guys know that I went there. I was on set. I met them. It was one of the best.
Really? I didn't know that.
You met the deli person, right?
I met all of them. There's photographic evidence.
Wow.
I met Big Pete. I said hi to Little Pete, but I didn't really meet him. But I spent the most time with that crazy girl who's now crazy. And,
Michelle Trachtenberg?
Yes. Mm. And her meat likeness.
I have a meat likeness of you, Jamie.
But they were super nice. They were so nice. And they were so, like, instead of, Michelle Trachtenberg was getting tutored by a tutor when we met her. And instead of being like annoyed, like, who are these random people coming into this house that I'm in being tutored, like disturbing me? She was like super stoked to meet us. And that was basically the highlight of my life.
Yeah, absolutely. When those people are like 14 and you were like, you know, 11. It'd be like, dude, what's up? I don't know. Hey. Like, nobody has any preconceived notions or annoyances at that point.
That was probably the exact content of their conversation, and it just ended after that.
Yep.
It was really
they just
surreal.
Stared at each other.
Nope, we talked about the meat likeness and what it was like to be on a TV show, and it was really, really weird. And it was like fourth wall breaking weirdness.
That's so cool.
That's amazing.
What were the circumstances of your visit? I knew you went, but I don't know why.
Because Jonathan Viger's mom had like an inn somehow.
Whoa.
That is the most summit thing I've ever heard.
She had an affair with Pete's dad.
At a crazy key party they met.
Right.
And that fire is still burning.
Could you say lacrosse?
Oh, man. No, our conversation was literally like, so you're on TV, right? What is that like? It must be crazy. And she was like, yeah, it's pretty crazy. I don't go to school anymore. I'm on TV.
Huh.
Yeah. So.
And then you started crying.
The illusion is over.
And then she passed out into a coma and he ejaculated on her in the after episode of season 13.8.
Oh, no. I heard that redone anime adaptations of those movies also went off the rails.
What movies? What?
Evangelion.
We were talking about Evangelion?
And look, Griffin is a strange dude, but talking about divorced of context would be kind of
weirder. Even though I own that movie, I haven't thought about that in a long time. I've pieced it together now.
I didn't know that they made more movies beyond those movies that I was referencing.
Okay, so between the two of you, if you both put your heads together, you could have understood what I was trying to say.
Yeah, you were there.
So, Griffin, they're redoing them. They're just making four movies, and the first two, I think, relatively closely, well, maybe not closely, but they kind of redid the basic plot of Evangelion, and then the third one apparently just went completely off the rails.
I hear that they're redoing Evangelion, and I take it with the same sort of enjoyable grain of salt that I hear people talking about the wrestling industry as a real functioning, like, progressive thing. Where I'm like, oh, that's great! Okay.
Well, the original creator is doing it, so it's not...
Well, Vince McMahon is still working there, too.
I get Griffin's sentiment exactly, and I think it's because you're not unhappy that it's happening, but you already know it's just going to be the exact same thing. Wrestling will never change. Evangelion will never change.
Or at the very least, it's going to be the same horseshit it was before.
Yes.
Well, I was not... I actually wasn't expecting anything special out of these. I was like, why do they have to be remade? I'm actually kind of intrigued that they went off the rails. It sounds like they did some really, really weird things and departed from the source material pretty significantly.
Pretty cool.
At least as of the third movie. I don't know. But yeah, no, I get what you're saying now, Griff.
Just go watch FLCL if you want.
I like the show.
A better trip.
I love FLCL, but I still like Evangelion.
I like it too. I actually saw some of the redrawn episodes in theaters, and they were quite enjoyable.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't live in the in like the backwoods. So like E3 will probably be on my movie screens as well. Oh,
the closest E3 I get is in Boston.
How did you check? Is there like a website for this?
Yeah,
there is.
It's like enter your shame here.
Hey, Jamie, guess where I found it?
Google.
You got it.
Jeff Keighley's Twitter.
No.
Also I'm true.
Sorry, I did not.
Oh. I don't hate NeoGAF. I just was ragging on it that one.
I know.
I was mad at it that one. I get mad. Like, it's like a friend you have who really annoys the shit out of you, but he's still a good friend. That's what NeoGAF is to me.
I feel you. I was looking at it after you were saying that, and it was doing a lot of the stuff that you hate. And I was like, it was bothering me a little bit too. I wasn't like perturbed by it, but I was like, wow, this is a lot of useless crap. Mm. That's all.
I just think that it's held up, or at least, so this is my problem with it. I remember back in the days of like the 1UP podcast, you know, we're talking 2006, 2005, when NeoGAF was some like exotic mystical animal that no one understood and seemed to actually be frequented by industry insiders mostly. And
industry insiders.
and it was like an elite thing. And now in my head,
it's pleb.
It still should be that. I don't care about that, but I just don't like when you go there and it's literally someone who's like, which Suikoden had the best frame rate?
Right.
And then it's 30 pages of people arguing.
Right.
Yeah. It's not. It's got some issues, but I still
I think
love
the better point is just there's nothing left to argue about video games anymore.
It's almost like I understand exactly what you're saying. And it's
like it's who's the better cyborg ninja? Vote here with your poll answers.
But
the thing with NeoGAF is it's people who know the internet. Like it's people. It's not young folks who are on YouTube like making comments or on IGN or whatever. Like it's people who have been around since 2008, or at least that's what you would think, since NeoGAF is kind of a weird place to be. And then when you have those topics that are like, you know, what is the graphical fidelity of the most recent Parappa Rappa clone on your DS Neptune? And you're like, what does that even mean?
I mean, I think there is some of that, but I think there's, I don't know. I still maintain that there is some good stuff going on there and some interesting insights. I don't think that it's going to have like good, like long form writing because it's just a bunch of random dudes. But it's got some stuff. It's got some stuff going on that I like. Yeah. I don't know. I enjoy reading the things. I like looking at the MPD numbers when they come out there. They always have the GAF Detective Force comes out and works out everything. Reading all the press releases, as Griffin said, is great. I don't know. It's just
I think it's a fun place. I think it's great.
You know what? If nothing else, it's a passionate crowd, even if they are sometimes horribly misguided. And that's kind of nice.
Can I present this? I have a hypothesis. And it is that you, or maybe I even told you this already, but Griffin and I have spent time in Maplewood Hobby around people arguing about which Warhammer like character, like which gun you should put on your little Warhammer figurine. And if you don't put that gun on your Warhammer figurine, you are a complete moron. Like, and I think we've been exposed to that in a different way than maybe you've been spared that. So I think when Griffin and I go onto a forum and there's people arguing about these teeny tiny things, nitpicking about these things, I think Griffin and I kind of have this like it makes me feel like I want to vomit. But I think you're kind of like, oh, that's endearing. They care so much that they're arguing these little points where I'm just like, oh God, why is it happening to this? It was supposed to stay in the hobby store.
It was supposed to be on Game Facts.
No. I have two very vivid memories about video game forums that I kind of use for my entire life. And first is listening to a very old 2008 Bionic Commando Rearm podcast where Norm Macdonald is talking to Ben Judd, where he's like, I saw you post in 2006 in GameFAQs where you launched a game and tried to defend it. And you were like there getting the shit beat out of you in the internet forums. And Mark Macdonald steps in and is like, yo, private message, you need to make surgical incision. And like, you need to be in and out of that shit. And don't waste your time there. So that's how I view GAF. Like, you go in there, read the thing you want to read immediately. Don't go past anything beyond what needs to be read. Like, just the facts, ma'am, sort of thing. And the other thing is actually, Jamie, back in Summit Middle School, we were on some shitty forum that I don't remember. And some, like, cyber ninja-faced avatar guy was like, blah, 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 Metal Gear Solid fights online. And you're like, hey, he likes cherry pie, but you might not like cherry pie. But who are you to say that that's wrong? And I was like, whoa, that's deep, man.
I said that?
Yeah.
I don't remember this at all.
So then at that point, I was like, internet forums are dumb.
Griffin, is there like an image that goes along with the podcast episode?
I think there is now. There is. You guys don't like Guy Fieri?
What are you talking about? I love Guy Fieri.
Heaven's gift.
Oh, Jesus. I didn't actually put... usually I'm the one that bombs the doc with
I
awful
did it this
image.
Time.
Jeff has to subvert the GAF hate some way.
Yes.
I have to find a way. I think you guys have really kind of keyed into what the issue is. I think you guys have been there. You've seen it. You're kind of like sick of it. You're disgusted with it at this point. I may be a little more naive about it, and I just kind of am like, oh, how cute.
Well, it's like, what else do you have? You know, there's not a lot of other bastions of internet investigation and forum knowledge. Like, that's all there really is out there is GAF. So, I mean, I enjoy it. I like going there. You know, it's like, you know, a shitty local slum bar that's like, hey, these guys, you know, they carry the liquor that I like. They know I'm here to do what I'm here to do, and they know that, and then it's fine. But then there's also somebody who's puked all over everything in the bathroom, and there's no there's no chairs, and, you know, there's some woman who's getting horrendously beaten in the background, too. And you're like, oh, okay, well.
At least, unlike game FAQs, there won't be a thread where there's like 30 pages of arguing over a piece of syntax.
Well, I mean, I don't really go that far. That topic gets deleted early.
Yes, exactly. It's moderated. It's better moderated than game FAQs. Right.
I mean, the point is just I don't like being on internet forums. There's nothing good about them. But
oh yeah, no, I
GAF is the best place to be because it is so fast paced and it is pretty smart that if you are looking for, you know, at least something to stimulate your intellect, there'll be something in the course of the
occasionally
day.
Exactly, yeah, you can't, I mean, you can't read every thread, you'd go insane trying to read all those inane threads, but there's always you know, something shows up that's interesting or references an interesting article. Oftentimes it's just a portal to other writing. I mean, you know, people post everything on there. It essentially functions as an aggregator, which is a little less glamorous than how it's been described, but you know, it's useful in that way too.
Yeah.
So anyway,
no, I completely agree.
So fuck GAF.
You guys listen to my brother and me?
I do not.
No.
There's a segment on that show where they read and answer a Yahoo Answers question.
Yeah, I've heard of this before.
I think that we should, in the future episodes of this podcast, we should go to a game. We should select a game FAQs forum question, and we should answer it.
I think you should just try and out cha 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 cha.
What?
Are you not familiar? With cha cha?
I am familiar when people have
strokes. You don't mean chachi, do you?
No, cha cha. Like you email or you text message cha cha. You're like, hey, what? Which Final Fantasy is the best? Cha cha. And then they send you a banner. It's like, public opinion thinks that Final Fantasy 11 is the best Final Fantasy of all times. Cha cha.
What the fuck?
Oh wait! I found one. Okay, this is the first edition of this new feature on the Giant Bombcast, where I will read a game.
Fuck
FAQs.
Omaha!
I will read a game FAQs forum post, and I will give you the entire forum post, and you guys have to answer this person.
Wait, I'm confused. The first feature for Giant Bomb or?
No, it's for us.
Oh, for Bossbarrel. Okay, okay.
Yeah, for us. Okay. It's a new feature. So I'm going to read I'll read the title of the post, and then I'll read the body of the post, and then you guys have to help this guy out.
Okay. All right. Okay? Oh, that's great. This is like Colin. Colin advice. Yeah. Caller, ready. Yeah. Ready when you are here.
We'll get the show rolling
please
with this one.
Please turn your radio off, caller. Turn your radio down.
Griffin, you must listen to more NPR than
we're,
me now.
We're here, caller.
So,
first time so caller, this... long time listener.
Oh my god, I love your program. I just wanted to say that you bring a breath of fresh air to the internet. Hold on a minute, I just gotta talk to my kids real quick. I'll be right back.
God fucking damn, why'd you fucking do it?
Okay, I'm back. Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hey! It's a drive time morning, DJ.
All right, sorry. Go ahead, Jamie.
I love when they ask, how are you? And the host of the show is just dumbfounded that the person is wasting their time asking, how are you? How are you doing?
Oh, great. I love when the people, you know.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, please.
I was going to say, I love when the people come on there with like a script. And they have like 8,000 comments they want to make. And they're like, could you just read the question? And they're like,
please,
no.
I just want to give a shout out. Okay, can I just give a shout out here? So this is, I just want to say, hey, Kelly and Roxwell, you are mine forever. Also, Benjamin down in the southeast side. Yo, homies for life. And then, you know, Rick D's, you know, hey, man, be real. Also, is ice cream gay?
I'll take my answer off the air.
NPR gets callers sometimes where the screener, they'll tell the screener one thing and then they'll just say something completely random. So the host of the show will be like, and now I think we have Brian from Far Rockaway. He's got something to say about the New York City Transit Authority. And then Brian will come on and he'll be like, I hate Obama. He's black. Anyway, this question was posted on GameFAQs.
Caller, go ahead.
And it's from user WeakPig. User WeakPig asks, what the heck? So we're down again? That's the title of the post.
Wait, what's down again? Server?
Server.
Oh.
Battlefield 4. Play a better Battlefield.
No, just there's no details. It's just, what the heck? Server down again?
Okay, all right.
Wait. And here's the body. Here's the body of the post. Bleh! That's it.
Well, WeakPig, you make a good point. In this modern age, there are, you know, with modern day video game infrastructure, it seems like there's a lot of things that just aren't ready out of the gate. You know, the dev cycle is it's a lot shorter, it's a lot tighter, it's a more competitive market. Teams have to, the AAA world is condensing and collapsing upon itself. It's an industry that is not built to proceed beyond this, and we're seeing the ramifications of that right now. I mean, you take Battlefield 4, you take games like Forza, you take games like SimCity Online, all of those doomed to failure from the beginning. You know, these things, they are half baked when they come out, and we have this poor excuse of this day one patch, and when it's not patched, it's going to fail. And in the end game, it just hurts the users. So you know what?
Can I just jump in
your butthole.
Can I just jump in real quick? Have you logged in and out of your Uplay account?
wait, you have to, so if Griffin actually answered the way that he just did on the forum, I think that he would elevate GameFAQs to a level it's never, because here's the first answer from Misfit Prince. Mm-hmm. User Misfit Prince answers, it could be worse.
Well, yeah.
Next line. You could have used a jewel key before it went down.
That's a great
point. I just did.
Is it Watch Dogs?
No.
Are we playing what is the game, or are we playing what is the advice?
I think we're playing what is the advice, but the game is this is like a general post.
It's just like video games in general.
It's just like some guy.
Server.
What, the server down again?
Final Fantasy 14.
He was so distraught that he couldn't put it into the proper discussion.
I was going to say hole.
Well.
Sorry about that, guys. Sidetracked us a little bit. It was worth it, though.
That's right. We're going nowhere.
There was a dude who used to work at a summer camp with a bunch of kids, and he would go to the kids and he would say, you know where you're going? No way. He's a dumb man.
Terrifying.
Yep.
You know, there was a summer camp at one time, and there was a guy who was in that summer camp who really liked saltwater taffy. And then there was another guy who's a ginger, and he liked getting in trouble.
And that, are you camp, referencing?
That was called Camp Onawana.
That was a great Nickelodeon program.
That was a fantastic program.
Another fantastic banger.
Did anyone ever receive awful waffles on that in that summer camp?
Yes.
Probably. But they're probably more Canadian.
Awful waffle.
A Canadian awful waffle is probably like just a slap in the face.
Did anyone have a nickname that equated a part of their face with something equine?
Yes.
No.
It's in New Jersey, an awful waffle involves donkey lips, but real donkey lips.
Wait, which end?
Both.
Oh my God! I think this should probably.
You need to legally change your name, Jamie, to Dr. New Jersey Donkey Lips.
Can I be on those terrible ads that run before the movie in the local movie theater? I'm Dr. Donkey Lips. If your face is dragging like an old person, I'm going to take some of these needles and shove it in there. You're going to look great.
Is your official title going to be Dr. Donkey Lips?
What about my sagging thighs?
It's going to be okay, Brenda. I'm going to take some of this donkey fat and I'm going to eject it right into your thigh.
Hey, Donkey Lips. I got some problem with my rectal colon.
Take it out.
Thanks, Dr. Donkey Lips.
2015.
Is your official title going to be plastic surgeon at law? Have you been injured in one of my plastic surgeries? I'm Dr. Donkey Lips.
In Chatham, New Jersey, there is an old people daycare center right next to a funeral home, which is then right next to a lawyer's office.
Amazing.
Yes.
Which hopefully then is right next to like a potting soil refinery or something.
It actually is a nursery.
Oh.
But the circle of life.
Oh man.
Was that good? Did that come through good?
That was really
good.
The
hot cut right there.
Okay, good. Can that be our new intro music?
Mm-hmm.
Just me belching?
Just those last 27 minutes every episode. Listen to the same thing again. Caller, go ahead. Well, guys, we're here to talk about video games
really?
For some reason.
Oh.
Sorry to bring it down.
Man.
Happy birthday, boys.
Happy birthday to all of us.
Happy birthday to everyone.
Hey, Griffin, happy about a month away from your birthday.
Hey, thanks. It's pretty great.
Happy my brother's birthday 2 days ago.
Hey, that's wonderful.
Did he get a phone?
No.
What's those phones?
He already has the 5S.
Really?
Yeah, he bought it like right when it came out.
Does
he
use the heart monitor? Why does that thing have a heart monitor on it?
Wait,
no, the
5S,
dude.
Oh, the 5S.
The S5.
Well,
come on.
Freaking insane. Sorry.
The S5 looks like the most idiotic phone known to man.
I love the commercials where they try to convince you that all phones should have always had heart monitors.
I love when I went into Best Buy and I started making a joke to one of the Best Buy salespeople about how terrible the heart monitor was, and she was an avid user of it. Oh, very sad.
I didn't know there was a heart monitor on a phone. Why does it even work? Are there like leads?
And just think, the Wii Vitality sensor, still waiting.
No, it's like
you
a finger.
Clip the phone to your dick?
I just do that anyway. How else are you going to carry it around?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If you live in a nudist colony, you only have so many options.
Squeeze them and weep. Jeff, you and I have beat Dark Souls 2 at this point.
Yes, we have. It took us a damn long time.
Yeah.
About the same amount each of us for about 65 hours.
Yeah, I was about a month behind you. Your victory?
Well, no, you were just a few, like a week maybe.
Oh.
But no, I'm saying about the same amount of in-game hours.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, about 65 each. And we both, I think, agree that was a little too much.
That was a slog.
Yeah. It's weird because like I played Dark. I looked at my hours in Dark Souls, and I'm first of all my soul level, Jesus, is way way lower. I'm level 46 right now,
mm-hmm.
And I'm like 60 hours in, and I haven't beaten the game, but it was 60 hours well spent,
mm-hmm.
And I think the problem with Dark Souls 2 and spending 60 hours on it is you're just kind of like running in one direction,
mm-hmm.
for the most part the whole time.
Yep.
And
especially that back third.
Yeah, and it just, I think the design in terms of the boss battles and just the pacing and where certain things happen, it's not diverse enough to really reward the time that you put into it. So I think that you just end up with a lot of like kind of like mid-game bloat that just kind of pads the length of the game and doesn't really end up being that memorable.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think there could have been. I think they could have given it a little more time in the oven, maybe cut a few things out.
Yeah,
it made for a leaner experience, but I don't know. Yep. What was your take on it, Griff?
No, 100%. A lot of bloat. I wouldn't say mid-game, but like just...
Maybe late.
Just, yeah, well, that whole back third was like the, and now we have to put the Triforce back together sort of a quest where you like collect everything you've already been at before, and I don't know, who fucking knows? Let's make one level and just put it in a really annoying place. that was that for me. But... I feel like I just feel that game was so disjointed. Like the front half was very front loaded, very interesting, very intense.
Yeah.
And then you're absolutely right. Like midway, the options became so varied and so uninteresting that it just really sagged. And then the back half was so linear that you just you know, especially when they give you that you go to like
your
Dr. Wily's castle.
Nice, Jamie.
You go to Dr. Wily's castle, so you're like, you I'm here, castle. Ready to fight Dr. Wily. And he's like, bah, ha, 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 ha. No.
Yeah, but then after you go to that castle and Dr. Wily's not there, you go to the coolest place ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's kind of forgiven.
It is. Well, yeah, you go to two of the coolest places ever after having done some of the most horse shit. I don't know. Like, I guess... I had a really great time, and I also had a really terrible time. And not because it was so hard. It was hard. Like, I suck at games. It was really hard for me. But it was like, I had, there was a lot of instances where I'm like, I just want to break this fucking disc in half. I have old man hands. I'm not good at video games, but I want to enjoy this content. And then I get through it, and I do, and I'm like, okay, let's do it again.
Well, it's weird because I think a lot the levels were short. Like you could critical path those levels really quick. I think maybe even quicker than in Dark Souls. But it just like the shrine level, which I didn't particularly enjoy, was so it just felt like you were running like a long distance marathon and just fighting a war of attrition against just enemy after enemy after enemy. And it's just like, okay, kite this guy. Now kite this guy.
Yep.
Now pull out your torch because you have to see where you're walking, and it's like this takes a long ass time. It literally took me two tries to clear that entire area, but just losing once was just like, ugh.
Oh, it literally took me like 16 tries to clear that one area.
Well, I had a really powerful bow by then, so I could just easily kill stuff.
Yeah,
but,
well, I'm stupid, and it took me a billion times longer.
Well, okay, you must have been even more angry because even dying once, I was just like, ugh. This level is so long and dumb.
Uh-huh.
And I just feel like there's just a lot of those moments. Like, it's still, like, a fantastic game, and there's still a lot of, like, the thrills of the first game and even some new interesting stuff that wasn't present in the first game. But I think it just lacks the tightness of the first game. It just doesn't seem to... I don't know. It's not... Exploring isn't quite as enthralling. It feels a little bit more formulaic.
You know why I can't play that game? Because I have MMO PTSD. And that game feels like an MMO to me. I go a little bit, I do a little bit of something, but I don't feel like I do much. And then I go back to a main area, and I heal up, and I do some stuff. And then I go back out, and I do a little bit, and then I come back, and I heal up. And it's such a slog.
That's very strange that you get an MMO vibe from it. I don't get that at all,
well,
actually.
Did you ever... You never played World of Warcraft, or EverQuest, or Dalk. You never played any MMOs, did you?
I tried a little bit of WoW, like just a trial for a couple days. I hated it.
I just have memories of the early days of WoW, sitting out on that giant horde area whose name I forget, and just making
the
a little
barons.
Headway. The barons making a little headway in some area, then going back to Orgrimmar or whatever, and healing up.
Yep,
and getting back out there, going a little bit, and then going back to Orgrimmar, and it's just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. When I don't get enough of a sense of progression to make me feel like I'm having fun or on an adventure. Mm-hmm. The only relief I get is, you know, that item or that new stat. My stats are a little better.
What about like finding a bonfire? Like for me, that feels like a huge progression point.
Granted, I haven't played enough to find enough bonfires to probably get that feeling that you're describing. Mm. And I'm not saying that they're identical. I'm just saying that that's the vibe that I get.
Yeah.
I can totally see that, Jamie. Like that feeling of, because that's kind of how I felt about Dark Souls 1. Like I knew this area, I would go and I'd poke out a little bit beyond it. And then I'd be like, well, okay, I'm good now. We're going to go run back home where it's safe and comfortable and I know, you know, what's around this corner. And then everything just becomes so mechanical and so rote where you're like, take a left here, take a right here, swing my sword here. Mm-hmm. And I think what helped me with getting over that kind of MMO, and the other thing with the MMO hump would be like if I walked away from that game for a week, I'd go back to it and be like, oh, well, fuck everything. I may as well just restart because who the hell knows what's going on. This game, I think the linearity helped maybe a little bit. And then also my willingness to kind of watch some other people play, like not pursuing YouTube videos, but like watching a Giant Bomb video or going on a wiki and being like, hey, spoiler free, like what is happening right now and what are my viable paths? Like not looking for a solution, but kind of looking to where I'm at. And then kind of forcing myself to move forward momentum.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's important that you just kind of throw yourself headlong into danger in those games. Mm-hmm. I think it's bad maybe to just go because there's nothing to be gained at all. Like stats are important in Dark Souls, but like people speed run those games and have like 3 points and they're soul level one playthroughs the first game where you don't gain any stats.
Yep.
And I think the key thing to do is just kind of rush in, not rush into the danger, but just keep pressing on until you find that bonfire. The way that I like to play it is like you just put like every ounce of your soul into it until you get to the next safe zone. And then like, I don't get that what you're describing, Jamie, where you have to like grind, go back home, grind, go back home. Cause it's not really grindy game in that way. It more only forces you to grind when you die repeatedly.
Well, I think that actually, Jamie, I felt that. I know what you're saying. Like in this game, you do go grind, and then you return back to the home base, Majula, and you level up, and you can go out there and you can go farm some souls, and you can return back home and level up, and you're safe. Yeah. You have a straight up safe zone that is like understandable and familiar. I think that it's the combination of those two and how much more straightforward Dark Souls 2 was with like stats and progression and tool tips and all that than opposed to Dark Souls 1. That's how I was able to at the very least just like scrape by and have a better time.
Mm-hmm. What I will say though about having Majula as the central hub that you can easily return to at any point, that might reinforce a bit of the MMO feeling because while there was a hub in Dark Souls, you could wander away from it and be lost away from the hub for hours. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is your anchor points become the bonfires. Mm-hmm. And you're always going forward. You're always going to something new. But all you have as your last point of reference is the last bonfire you reach.
Yeah.
Until eventually you finally make your way back to the shrine.
Right.
And which you find like a
made for more interesting game design there too, because you'd be lost for so long and then finally you'd come back, you're like, no fucking way, really?
Exactly, yeah. And there'd be these moments where you'd find like paths and you're like, it was under the thing the whole time.
Jesus,
fuck.
I think it's a great game. I'm gonna play it with like a guide. I'm gonna wait until like the best guide comes out. And everyone's like, oh, my God, this guy is the best. And then I'm going to sit there with my laptop open next to me. I'm just going to, like, do whatever the guide says. And I think – no, seriously. And I think I'll have a great time. I'm not joking.
I think that's a fascinating experiment because I'd love to hear what your results are because it's much like other games that are coming out right now from a certain developer / publisher that has a certain track record for their game design where everybody thinks – there is the best way to do something, but in reality, you know, there are a handful of very viable, very functional, you know, play styles that, that you can go and have the best quote unquote experience.
Gotcha. So not the best, but like, just like the easiest route through, like that, that a person can do and rely minimally on their ability to like time things correctly and dodge. Just brute force their way through.
It's all opinion. Like somebody will say the best thing is the rolling, like only roll, never use a shield. And somebody else's guide's like, fuck rolling, only use shields.
But maybe what Jamie needs is a way to like separate himself as much as possible from the tedious parts of the game, like the stat management. So like maybe he finds like a really good build that just works for low level characters and just does that for the rest of the game. And then he doesn't have to think about the stuff that has made him feel disengaged.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, in that way, I would say, Jamie, break the seal on everything that we told you to not look at before. Like, if you're feeling discouraged and you want to look at a guide, because I will tell you, I've looked at guides, and I was like, I want a really good, easy build to win the game. And there's nothing. There's 15 of them, and they don't make any sense. And it's really bizarre. Like it's beyond MMO levels of like absurdity and contrivances and whatever. But it's like, well, you have to have these 8 rings that you need to farm from this location, and this only works in this. You have to boost your luck using these, and you're like, oh, fuck this shit. I don't care.
Yeah, but like he could like you know look up like, oh, this is a good weapon. Like this is a weapon that'll serve you well the whole game, and just spec into those points into strength and
that's
dex,
what I'm
and
saying.
Then just
so don't go looking for the best way to play the game. Go looking for like what do these things mean? Like go look up what is stat. Skills like what are deck skills, what are good weapons that people think like might be good for a late game or mid game or like. And then what I did too was like play around with some of them, like run into an area with a new weapon that you're not familiar with and swing it around a little bit and see what works for you and makes sense in your brain, and then respec into that and what you're comfortable with, because you get a lot of chances to respec, so you may as well use them. And it's like one build may be just as viable as another build. It's just what are you more comfortable with playing as?
Yeah, and also if you fucked up, don't worry about it. It's yep. No big deal.
What I really want is I want to beat the game in 20 hours or less.
Okay.
That's what I really want.
You're going to have to rush. I mean,
summon
the world record is like sorry, go ahead, Griffin.
No, I just said summon.
Yeah. I was going to say, it's been beaten in 3 hours, so it's doable.
It's a shame, because I recognize the game's greatness. When you do, like, something simple, like when you dodge, when you get that perfect dodge in, it's so rewarding so immediately. And I think the game's mechanics, like, are really well designed for that purpose. I honestly, it's a shame that I don't have the patience for it. Like, I really enjoy minute to minute. It's when I get back to the bonfire and I think, what did I actually do on that last run? Like, how much farther did I actually get? That's when it feels kind of like a waste of time to me. Mm. Not that the game is a waste of time. Not that it's not a fabulous game. It's just I can't break myself out of that.
Well, I would say never be satisfied with running back to a bonfire unless you just picked up like an amazing item or something, you should always push for that next bonfire or else you're just going to feel like you didn't do anything.
Okay, gotcha.
And what I would say is one of the things I think that's really poorly articulated about Dark Souls is it's not that it's so mean and it's so grueling and you're going to die. Like it's what's so awesome about the game is your character doesn't progress, you progress as a human. So when you get through that location and you're like, okay, I'm good now, I'm going to return back to the bonfire and reset everything and fight them all again, you now have in your human brain where each of these, you know, enemies are going to be, kind of a good idea of their attack patterns, and then like you have a game plan built and you go and you execute on what you've learned, and you as a human person who's working within the rule set of this game can now test your mettle based on your advantage against this opposing enemy AI. And you can keep doing that, and it keeps getting harder, and it keeps throwing you different monkey wrenches. And that's what I think is so appealing about Dark Souls, is it's you versus the game. It's not, you know, this progression fest. It's you as a human player against a rule set.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I agree. And definitely just don't go back to those bonfires.
I think that's the key for me. But it also, I really like what Griffin is saying. Like, I really respect a game that does that. It's not just you don't just get better stats and then it becomes really easy. It's like you can you can be a really high level, and if you don't have patience and if you don't know the enemy patterns and if you don't know what's coming, it's not going to matter.
Yeah, you'll never get to a point where you just shrug off hits like they're nothing. It's not that kind of game.
Right.
It's the kind of game where it's always like, you know, life or death.
But also, I think just for me psychologically, you're right. I should not go back to bonfires. I should just keep going. And if I die, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, just if you die, your goal is now you know vaguely where the enemies are. Get back to where you are, reclaim your soul, and keep pushing forward.
Right. Yeah. I lost 80,000 souls.
Oh, Jesus.
The other day.
Oh, no.
It's okay, though.
Get over that. That's the problem. Even if I was pushing past bonfires, even if I was happy with the game, if I lost 80,000 souls, it'd be like, oh, no.
Yeah. Well, at that point, I lost 80,000 souls, and I was like, that's two levels. Who cares?
Exactly.
You get so far into it, you're like, you know, at the beginning, you're like, I lost 4,000 souls. I may as well just restart. Meh. And then, you know, you're going, you're like, I lost 30,000 souls. Who cares?
Yeah,
and
whatever.
It just keeps going. Like, you know, it's not the amount of skill points you can pump in. It's your skill as a player.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They might shorten a battle by, like, you know, a minute.
Right.
If you have higher level. It's like, it makes no difference.
Right.
Gotcha. So. I'll give it another try sometime soon. I've got too much else to play.
Yeah. You know, actually, as an experiment, Jamie, you, instead of going online and looking at the best build, I think you should just, like, stream your game and have Jeff and I, like, as the angel and devil on your shoulder, yell at you.
Move! Dodge!
Go left.
Only equip Cestus.
Have you tried? Wait, Jamie. Have you tried jumping off the cliffs in Majula yet? I think something really cool happens if you do that.
Jamie, you suspect fully into adaptability.
I often wonder who writes those messages in Majula that are like, try jumping.
My favorite one of all of them is probably Tongue Butthole.
I will say I kind of got I really liked the messages at the beginning of the game, not for the snarkiness of and, like, you know, the humor. I kind of enjoyed not having them around later in the game, just because of how, I guess, kind of how linear the game got, but also I felt like I had earned a level of understanding of this game where I don't need these, like, kind of shitty vague hints anymore. And then
I love how you say vague. Yeah, I love
vague.
It. Vague.
Vague.
It sounds like a slur.
sounds like a weird way of saying vag.
Well, I mean, there's that one area you unlock in the obvious late third game where you're going back and doing things, and my internet went down, and I was like, I'll play through it anyway. And it was like the funhouse mirror maze level where you're like, if I was reading things for each one of these instances that I was about to put one foot across the line for, I would probably back up and study myself. But instead I'm like, I'll just run into this house of mirrors and then just immediately get killed. Or like, oh, look at that giant skeleton. Oh, dead.
The good news is it still was, Griffin, having played that area with the notification thingies, it still was scary.
Okay. Well, I just enjoyed dying from each one of them over, like, every time being like, video game. This is what you're
those
all thing, about.
They do lessen the pain, though, because you're like, oh, like, that's coming up. I should be forewarned. And sometimes you still fall for it, but you're like, okay, like, I feel a little more secure now.
I just enjoyed that moment of, like, reality television, like, America's Funniest Home Video, Spike, like, I can't believe they didn't die, where you're like, you see the car coming at full speed in front of you, and all you can do is like juke left and right by 2 inches apiece, and then you just get smoked by it. And then you get up and walk off the road.
You chose a good
like,
place to turn it off, Griff.
Yeah.
You definitely chose a good place to turn it off.
Yeah, totally. It worked fine there. And then going on after that, I was like, I don't really need you anymore.
I'm surprised that you had them on, Jeff, because you're all about that. I'm not going to use the super hearing in God and damn it. What's that
Last
game?
Of Us.
The Last of Us. I'm not going to summon.
The scrolls on the ground, they enhance the ambiance for me for some reason. They just feel like a very integral part of the game, whereas the summoning to me has always felt... I don't know. I don't like the idea of other humans being in my game in a way that helps them progress. I like them as opponents, although I'm not wild about them. But I don't like having them as my allies. Because I don't know how they're going to play. And I don't know. For some reason, the thought of some dude curb stomping a boss while I just hang back is it's just really unappealing to me to the point that I just refuse to do it. And I think I could be okay with summoning the NPCs that aren't human, although I chose not to for whatever reason. And I know you actually get rewarded for summoning those NPCs, but I just, for some reason, I was like, I'm just going to do this all alone. And I don't know. I like feeling alone in that world. I like feeling like everything is out to get me.
Then that's even more astounding why you keep the messages. I mean, I understand. I heard you.
I guess I like feeling alone, but I also like feeling like far away. Somebody's trying to give me a warning.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yep.
Like someone has been here before and they want to leave behind something for the person passing through.
Right.
But you're on your own right now.
Huh. That's so fascinating. That's an interesting little... I want to psychoanalyze you now.
No, you can psychoanalyze me any day.
Caller, go ahead.
Hot Biff writes in. My Battlefield disc got scratched. Help!
What's more muscles? SoCam or Battle Fart?
Also, the Illuminati controls everything.
This message has been brought to you by the Illuminati. All right, so now we're done with Dark Souls. Never need to talk about it again until Jamie beats it, right? Great.
Yeah. Yeah, we can talk about it more of them.
Yeah.
Game of the year? Quick little poll, Jeff?
Dark Souls 2 game of the year? The year's not even halfway over yet, so
I
don't
just,
know.
Like, right, I mean... Maybe.
Liked it. I liked it a lot. It's not as good as Dark Souls.
I can tell you what game of the year is right now.
Okay.
What's that?
The Last of Us HD.
Noise.
That was a joke, but
awesome. Griffin, I don't know. It's good. It's a great game. It's a game that I enjoyed playing mostly from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
That's more than can be said for other large budget titles this year.
Oh.
Well, you haven't tried one that I'm going to talk about.
That's true.
Keep the audience in suspense.
Okay.
Wow.
Although, is that a large budget title? Oh, you're talking about...
I am talking about. Get there. We'll get there, listener.
Okay.
You
deal reader.
Hey, should I talk about other games that I played? I'm going to just erase two of them because they're not really worth talking about.
What?
Okay, I'll touch on them real brief. Do you want me to keep going with
the
games
that I
play?
Why don't you guys talk a little bit about Hitman Go, since I know very little about it, but so you want to set it up here?
Yeah.
I'm going to let Jamie go into it more because he's beaten the game, and I'll give my thoughts on the first two acts after he's done.
Okay. I'll talk
as he's done.
Griff, have you seen any footage? You heard? I'll just explain it. I
only know briefly of it, so go ahead and wind it up.
So Hitman Go is a game that takes place in the Hitman universe, but everything is stylized to look like a board game, and the graphics are gorgeous. Everything's got like a nice plastic sheen on it, and it's a very peaceful game to play. There's like ambient noises on in the background, and like it's very soothing.
Except during assassinations when the Ave Maria starts playing.
Still soothing.
Yeah.
The game works like I imagine the Japanese game Go works. I've never played Go, but in Go, you have a board with a grid on it, and there are black and white tiles. And that's the same thing that happens in Hitman Go. You control one piece on the board, and everyone, the enemies and you, move simultaneously on the board. So if you move, they all move. All the enemies on the board move in unison immediately after you.
Just like a mystery dungeon game, kind of.
Exactly, like a dungeon crawler kind of.
Exactly. Yeah. So exactly.
You have to look ahead and see where everyone is going and try to avoid them, and also try to move onto other tile spaces to assassinate them. And you have different objectives depending on the board. You might have to assassinate every other piece on the board. You might have to assassinate every other piece on the board except for watchdogs.
Huh? Are you serious?
Yeah, no pun intended. You may have to...
Oh. I thought you meant actually watchdogs.
Like guard dogs.
Guard dogs, yes. Guard dogs.
For a moment, I forgot that Ubisoft and Square Enix are separate companies.
Kill everybody except Vector Man.
I wish. Oh, God, I wish.
Toe Jam and Earl are coming to save you.
Don't get my hopes up.
And you may have to take a briefcase on the way.
The briefcase
will be hidden in some far-off corner of the map that you wouldn't otherwise go to complete the level, but you have to go there to get the briefcase.
Yeah, just to jump in real quick, every level has three objectives, and you can pretty much almost never complete all three objectives in one go.
Yeah, so when you do, on the off chance that you can, you feel like a genius.
Yes, but some levels it's just not possible.
Yeah, not possible at all. I think it's a fantastic game because there are like five worlds, I suppose, and every world introduces some new ideas. And none of the ideas drastically change the game itself, but they're kind of smart, subtle changes that really make you approach this game that you might have poured like 2 hours into previously, and you're doing essentially the same thing, but you have to approach it from a completely new angle, and it keeps it really fresh throughout the game. And you have new abilities in the later levels. There's a lot of goodness that they mine out of a simple idea, which is like my favorite kind of game.
So to kind of go with, I'll give my slightly different perspective on it. So I am only in the middle of the second act, and I like the game. I pretty much agree with everything Jamie said so far. However, I do have one kind of beef with the game, which is that kind of by virtue of the fact that everyone moves at the same time that you do, and the level areas are quite small, you find yourself in these situations where in order to progress, you literally have to move your dude back and forth between the same square over and over again because there's no waiting option. So what you'll do is you'll kind of like wait in place by just going between two spaces like four times before you can progress forward.
Sure.
And I just can't help but not like that part of it. Yeah. And for me, I don't like that I have to wait and that I have to wait in this kind of roundabout manner to progress, even though it's kind of a necessary component of the difficulty of the game. It's kind of like it's like it couldn't be done any other way that I can think of, but it also makes me annoyed.
I actually like that a lot, and here's why. It doesn't often occur to me at first to do that, and you don't have to always do it. And
no.
So it's kind of like – it's kind of a mind bender in and of itself, when to stop trying to make it from one end of the board to the other, and when it would be best to time your shuffle back and forth. And in the later levels, it gets really complicated because you'll have multiple options as to which way to shuffle. And you really have to think ahead and wonder, like, if I bide my time by going up and down as opposed to left and right, am I setting myself up for failure later on?
I just don't like that there is so much biding of time.
The first two or three worlds of the game, I feel like that is like a big thing that they're trying to get you to understand, because it isn't readily apparent, at least it isn't to me, that if you switch back and forth like that, you're essentially switching up the timing, your timing in relation to the enemies. Mm-hmm. So you can open up new possibilities if you do that. And I don't think that's obvious. So I think like the first three worlds of the game, it's trying to explain that to you. And then when it under, I think when the designers think that you have that ability, like, you know, under control. Under,
yeah, you've mastered it. Yeah.
I think they move on to more complicated and just fascinating things. Have you gotten to guns yet?
No, not at all. And I'm wondering if things are going to open up when I move on to later chapters, because
it's awesome. You get to there are two different types of guns, and they are used in such amazing, interesting ways. There's also, have you gotten to trap doors yet?
I have. Yeah. Trap doors, I was a little underwhelmed by.
I like the way they're used later on. Sometimes they'll take you to like different. A level might be tiered, and it takes you to different parts of that level. And combined with the other things like the guns and when to distract the enemies and dealing with different types of enemies at once.
I guess the biggest beef I have with it is that it's like it's very much just like a puzzly puzzle game, but it's like in Hitman's clothing, and I'm like, this is a very like, I don't know, it just doesn't. I have a hard time like connecting to like the branding on it or something.
I have no connection with the brand, but I just think it's so beautiful that I don't
just like, yeah.
I think it. I just loved it. I loved every artistic decision they made. I love how every board has like a wooden base, and it's just so game.
Yeah, the board game aesthetic is cool. I've actually, it might have also hurt me that I've seen it used in a couple other games. I saw it. Are you familiar with Crimson Shroud?
No.
Or the 3DS. It's one of the level 5.
Oh, you did show me games. That.
Yeah, and also another game that I'm sure neither of you played, Unlimited Saga.
Unlimited.
Yeah, Griffin, I'm sure you know about it. It's a saga game. It's like the saga game for the PS2 that reduced gameplay to like
a roulette wheel.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yep, I did actually play that game.
Pretty interesting game. It's
Unlimited.
Kind of inscrutable. it's kind of inscrutable, but I'm kind of entranced by it at the same time. I got it for like $5 online just to try it out.
You guys ever watch Final Fantasy Unlimited?
No.
Just look up that one clip.
Anyway, so
Colin, go ahead.
In NHL 14, they got rid of the ability to change your outfit from the pink to the blue, which was in NHL 13.
Inexcusable.
It's funny because I was playing Hitman Go after I fiddled around with Unity 4 and have now like a super basic idea of what it takes to do some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I realize now that like one of the most painful things you can possibly try to do in Unity, at least, is to make your character have any type of animation. Like it's one thing to design a 3D model, like a plasticky 3D model of the Hitman guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just another thing entirely to make his arm move. And it's
is that why they don't do that at all? There's no animation in that game.
There's no animation, and it just there's a little bit, you know, just vibrating the different puzzle pieces or whatever.
Yeah, I think that's done by something. I mean, they don't need to do any wireframes for that.
Exactly.
Basically.
They don't have to wire it up. Like Unity is not too bad, but the second that you want to make your person animate and have it not go completely haywire and also maintain all the physics that you programmed in, it is just bananas. That's why when you look at the credits for every game, including The Walking Dead, which I'll talk about later, they've got I believe the team is 160 large now, and there's a solid like 45 animators or 50
wow.
animators. And they're doing is wiring up the motions in Unity or whatever engine they use, their shitty engine.
It's interesting because Crimson Shroud also did not have any animation at all. And Unlimited Saga used Flash, which was very strange at the time for a PS2 game to use Flash.
Mm. Unity 4 makes it really easy to do animations in 2D. Even mm-hmm. I could do it. But it's still extremely time-consuming. It's easiness and just time-consuming are two different things. But Jesus Christ, I was looking at like I was watching a guy try to explain to me on YouTube how to make his 3D model, which he wired and gives to you for free, so everything's wired up perfectly. and like I'm watching him do the code, and I'm doing it as he does it, and I still can't make it work.
Oh no!
It's so hard. It's definitely the hardest part of, or one of the hardest part of, making a game. That and the camera. Jesus Christ! Getting the hardest thing about wiring up Pong was getting the camera to not freak out.
That's so odd.
So Jamie, now anytime you hear somebody who's like, the cape is clipping through his shoulder, you're just like, fuck off.
I hate those people. I think those people are what is killing the game industry.
The cape is clipping through his shoulder when he's in Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes. If he carries a man and is running with a man, sometimes his elbow will clip through the man's knee.
Yes,
people were upset about that.
It took me 3 hours to make Pong work by watching someone do it on a YouTube video that was 10 minutes long. It still took me 3 hours. Did I tell you guys about all my problems? So I had problems with the – this is fascinating, so I'll just tell you guys, even though we're in our game section. I'll be really quick. So first of all, yes, the camera, oh my god. Just you have to program in like geometric blocks to block the camera from moving away. And that takes a hell of a long time. That, like, the lines of code that you need to make the paddle work with controls that you define, that's like 10 lines of code. It's a solid like 50 lines of code just to make the camera stay still in one place. It's super annoying. And then there were other like interesting little hiccups that I didn't anticipate. So I wired up the ball and I gave the ball physics. And then I wired up the paddles and I gave the paddles physics. And I didn't define the paddles to be exactly at the edge of the camera. Uh-huh. So the first time that I played my Pong game that I wired up, the ball shot off in a random direction. It hit one of my paddles. And because I also gave the paddles physics, it shot the paddle off the screen.
Oh no!
Into oblivion.
So wait, is there just a physics button?
No. You decide generally. This is the fascinating thing about Unity. Unity is Photoshop, and you drag and drop things, and then you tell Unity what type of thing you want it to be. So you'll drag and drop a Pong paddle into Unity that you drew in Photoshop, and then it's there. It's in your game. And then you tell Unity very vaguely, like, I want this to be a hard thing. Things aren't going to go through this. Mm. And Unity's like, okay. But then Unity's like, the second you tell Unity that, Unity will open up a code screen. And it's like, okay, now really tell me what to do. And you have to then use JavaScript or any coding language. It takes any coding language. But JavaScript's the easiest. You just type in more things. It's like, okay, like, if ball hits this, then ball goes away. Like, you know, and you have to wire that up in Java. But you can tell it very generally, like if you draw some grass in Photoshop and you want the grass to be the ground, then you really just drag and drop it into Unity. And then you say, like, this is the ground, Unity. And Unity's like, okay, sounds good. So that's easy. But then if you want things to respond in a proper manner, like if you want your character to move left and right as opposed to moving up and down through the ground, like, that is a lot of time and work and hassle. So it's really hard. I was surprised.
It's really surprising because you hear so much talk about Unity being like, oh, you know, so many games are coming out on Unity. It's so simple. Like, it's the new Epic engine? Unreal Engine, thank you. Thing where it's like everybody uses it; it's so easy. But
it is. It's easy. It's just I was thinking that it would be so easy that for someone like me who doesn't know any coding, I could just jump in and. But you really need to know your coding, and you really need to be smart because, like, the guy who showed me on YouTube how to make Pong work, he basically just came up with like a formula for the physical properties of the ball that he just randomly decided would work well. And like, because you know how in Pong, when the ball hits the paddle, it doesn't just go back at the same speed. If you're moving your paddle up and down, depending on how fast you're moving your paddle, the ball will go off the paddle faster. Uh-huh. And even that is like a formula that some guy just thought about. He was like, well, it should be like, it should be like 2/3 of the velocity of the paddle and 1/3 the velocity of the ball.
Jesus.
And it's like, that's, you have to think about that. And little other little things, like I was watching a guy wire up a simple platformer, and it's really easy because these people on YouTube, they'll make available for free all their art assets, so you can just download like their platformer main character and just drag and drop him into your Unity, and just like remake the game that they're making for learning purposes. And simple things like, I realized that for almost all platformers, their platforming characters don't have actual feet. They all move on wheels. It's like an invisible wheel that you can't see, but like
they don't like locomote.
They do locomote, but they don't look like they're locomoting. And if you try to wire it up so that they have feet, you run into all sorts of awful problems. And then you have to decide like, how quickly should the velocity on the locomotion that you're putting on change? And like little things like that, that you don't think about. And then it becomes easily apparent why you could just nitpick and take years to make these things.
I think the value of the left foot should be slightly less than right foot, because the left foot, this character clearly's backstory is saying that the left foot is underdeveloped and the right foot is the stronger foot. I mean, look at this man's past. Cyrus, the ghost of his father, obviously was right-handed based on the sword hand.
Also, I think Obama is a Muslim terrorist. Okay, I'll take my answer off the air. Bye.
Jamie, I'm terrified of your time in Unity. I never want to know anything about video games now.
Yep. This is actually really interesting.
If you just download Unity and you don't know any coding and you just keep watching these YouTube videos, you could easily know enough to make a game pretty quickly. And it's not like it would be a great game, and it's not like it would be easy for you. But like, if I sat down and I spent an hour a day watching these videos and playing around with Unity, I could make a game probably in a year.
Well, when I'm an empty nester in 10 years, that sounds great.
I think you just threw down the gauntlet, Jamie.
It would be really hard, and like I said, the hardest thing would be being smart enough to come up with smart solutions to your problems. Like if you want your platform guy to move in just this way, how, like, what mathematical equation can you come up with to make that happen? It's crazy.
Yeah, sounds awesome. Anyway,
Kirby.
I'm not going to talk about Kirby very much because I literally played the first two levels like 2 weeks ago and haven't touched it since. It looks like a Kirby game. So far, I'm not sure what all the hassle's about, although the Kirby keychains are adorable.
What's the Kirby game exactly? Sorry.
Yeah, I don't know.
It is Kirby Triple Deluxe for the 3DS.
Oh, kawaii!
Yes, it's very kawaii, and it is basically a Kirby game. It's kind of like the Dreamland games for the Game Boy, except 3D. I loved those games as a kid. This hasn't fully grabbed me yet. The levels have seemed pretty basic. It doesn't feel like it's measuring up to what the reviews were, I guess. I was expecting something really just really delightful to play at all times, and I've been having a good time and I like all the items, but I'm not absolutely enthralled yet. But there are keychains that you can find, and they are the most adorable keychains of all time, and they're super nostalgic, and that's not enough to save a game, but I'm liking it, and I'm only about like 4 levels in, so I don't know.
Yes, I got a question. I have a question about the Kirby's.
Yes.
My question is, what color is the Kirby's?
What color is the Kirby's?
Is Kirby a white man like he should be? Not one of them fucking pink Kirby's or them fucking yarn Kirby's. Is he a white Kirby like the Kirby that I knew and that I loved and my father loved and my grandfather loved?
I don't think Kirby has a race, sir.
I'm not asking about race. I'm asking about color.
I bet you support them gays.
He's pink. He's pink, and sometimes he gets Rambo powers.
You say Rambo powers like John Rambo, like he's slitting necks, cutting checks, like a fucker.
No, like the kind after a rainstorm, when the sun comes out.
I don't understand what that is, sir. You're not speaking English.
In the West, do people just come up with amazing rhymes all day long? Did you just say slitting necks and cutting checks? You just said that. That's incredible.
Griffin, are you going to be in the next Expendables movie?
I'm gonna. Yeah, I can't take. That's not mine. I don't want to. Let's move on.
All right. Okay. So Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. I played 2 levels of that game. So again, not much to talk about. Still great. Water worlds are still stupid and need to go away.
Kevin Costner. And...
that water world has to stay forever. Okay, Hitman Go, we already talked about. Yep. Hey, I started Virtue's Last Reward.
Again, Griffin. Yay!
Well, wait. I mean, this is the first time.
Oh, yeah, I guess. It's been like a month.
Yeah,
since
I
talked to you about it.
Progress.
Starting it, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Get that screwdriver!
I got that screwdriver. There were like 4 screwdrivers, weren't there?
That was the immediately worst thing about that video game where you're like, I have this 4 screwdrivers with 4 different bit heads on them, and hell, if you're not going to help me pair them up together, I have to do it all manually on your shitty touchscreen.
Yeah, and it really is shitty on the Vita. And also, every single puzzle I've encountered so far seems to be, hey, you want 4 or 5 of different colors of an object that you have to combine in the most tedious way possible. Mm-hmm. And it's really a bummer.
It is.
Really sad
is
about
one
it.
One of the weakest parts of that game, absolutely.
But do you feel like an otaku now?
An otaku? Like,
I would assume that playing this game, which just looks like anime to me, would make you feel like an otaku.
No, it's... I feel like the voiceover is really bad, which is unfortunate because it detracts a little bit from what I think is a pretty interesting story so far. Although it does feel like very familiar territory for these guys. Usually the first like hour of the game is like, okay, hey, you're all trapped here and people are going to die.
Sounds like again, a game that I've been playing.
Jeff, I know where you're going, Jimmy. Can I pause you 1 second since we beat Valar to death?
I was foreshadowing.
Have you, what kind of stage are you at right now? Have you seen the tree is all I want to know.
No, I got to I finished the second puzzle, which is the one. Oh, no, I'm in the room with the mannequins, Griffin, with the robot.
How many
the robots.
Decisions have you made? How many 2 doors have you went through where they required color choices?
2.
Total.
I've seen the flowchart. I'm aware that you can do it all.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's not a new concept for me. I mean, you do that in the first game, although they don't give you a handy dandy flowchart.
Yeah.
And you also do it in that game that I recommended to you, Griff. Nobody Has to Die, I think it was called.
Yes.
So it's very cool, and I'm excited to do it and see how things change. So basically, Jamie, just so you know.
Don't say it. It's really awesome when it happens.
Well, it's kind of right there in your face from the very beginning.
I didn't think it was. Like, I got through that puzzle and I was like, holy shit. Okay, here we go.
Are you talking about a puzzle or are you talking about the fact that you can choose alternate things?
The latter.
Don't spoil it.
Too late.
It's not really a spoiler, but I won't spoil it. Okay, so basically...
Dumbledore dies.
You're going to play the game and
Zelda
then...
has a dark world.
It's important. It's basically a game where you make choices, but it's important to think about those choices.
It doesn't matter. You're ruined now. You're ruined.
He doesn't even know what I'm talking
about. Kill yourself.
I wasn't even
paying attention, so.
Yeah,
perfect.
See?
I was thinking of Zelda Williams.
Speaking of not paying attention, dude, really? Were you? Because I was too, like, all day long.
Because
she's
going to
be
at
E3.
How absurdly attractive she is.
She's pretty hot.
She is, but I only saw her in that one commercial many years ago for
when Robin Williams had like that gargantuan Everest beard.
He went back in time to the Jumanji.
I was gonna say that on her Twitter, she's got a Twitter.
She is on Twitter.
That's how we know that she's.
Does she like games besides Zelda? What does she tweet about?
Yeah, she plays games.
Like, she's the Dogecoin of human beings, I think.
I didn't look at her Twitter very carefully, except for the fact that her Twitter avatar picture was attractive, and she plays a bunch of games.
Time to Google Zelda Williams.
I guess she's an actress, and she also plays video games, and has like, she has inane, one-sided conversations like most young people on Twitter do.
A lot of side boob.
Oh,
I don't recall there being side boob.
Me either.
But sure, why not?
What are your search credentials?
Well, I'll just put this in the chat here to be as creepy as possible for our listeners.
Excellent. Jeff really Bridges.
Really should just be the header for the for the thing. So why don't you just make it the podcast header?
Perfect. Done. Anyway, excellent. Speaking of things I don't want to hear about, tell me, Jamie, about... speaking of things that I'm not going to listen to, tell me about Walking Dead.
Wait, you want to listen? Don't go, because I want to tell you about season 2, which haven't played.
I'm out of here. No, I am actually really curious about season 2. I was just being teasy. For those long-time Boss Barrel fans who know of my disinterest in the Walking Dead franchise.
So before I talk about that, tell me your thoughts on season 1, so I know where you're coming from.
Can you tell me all your thoughts on God? Because I'm on my way to see her.
What? Say what?
Who? God was one
he just
of
said
us.
That. My thoughts on the first season. Well, it was in 2012, so my memory's a little rusty, first of all.
Still on the meth?
Yeah. It wasn't a great game, video game, so my memory's a little rusty.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you that. It's not a great video game.
It was a hard time in 2012 to deal with that, I think, because it was so hyped. It was so intense. It was so, like, it was... Walking Dead, for me, prompted a lot of conversations about... What is the difference between AAA, full-size, like, massive team, and indie game? Like, can they be viewed as the same, or are we saying, like, Geometry Wars is just as good of a game as Metal Gear Solid 4? Like, that's the kind of mind state that I was in at the time. Is like
it's a terrible mind state.
Wrestling with that to be like...
I hate that.
Be like, Telltale made a game about clicking on bullshit, and it's a video comic book. So do we say that game is just as good as Saints Row the Third?
Oh, God.
And then I say to myself, no, it's not. Saints Row the Third is amazing.
I'm remembering having these conversations... And I'm so glad that we're past that now.
Yeah, it is really good to just be like, games are games. Yay.
Who gives a fuck?
Right?
Yeah.
So that I was kind of mired in that at the time. And Walking Dead was like the showpiece, like the figurehead of that sort of like battle. Like if the that was like a little... Like, the energy of the console wars was kind of going on for me. It was like, well, how can that game win the best indie game and downloadable game and also be the best full video game? But why would you just merge the categories and just throw them out? Just throw best video game. And then, you know, there's a lot of sites at the time that were still making that delineation. And that really upset me.
How much of 2012 did you spend just curled into a corner rocking slowly with your hands over your knees?
what you just described is to me is NeoGAF all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. it was my reaction to NeoGAF, definitely, because there was a lot of talk. What really made me angry would be like, okay, so 2011, good year for independent games, good year for small games. 2012 was this like hinge point where you're like, do we treat small games as large games? Do we reward them as well? Like, do we say, here is the category for best independent video game? And it's, if you give Telltale like the award for best independent video game, is it really an independent video game? Or have they bridged that gap into real-ass video game?
It's kind of like how at the Oscars, there's that best animated movie category.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though animated movies are just movies.
Yes.
And there was that time when WALL-E, I think, was nominated, and people were like, but shouldn't it just get a regular movie nomination?
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard because when we talk about normal games, we can say, oh, well, Watch Dogs is a normal-ass open-world game, and they tried to change it up with the fact that you can hack things. Like, and I feel like that's what we look for in our games. We want like a foundation, a bedrock of like established principles, and then we want like one hook that is like, oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to get that with Telltale games or games of this ilk, because that's just not what they do. I think now we understand that like all that Telltale is trying to do is be a comic book. It's like a minimally interactive, slightly touchable comic book. and if you enjoy it, like if you enjoy the story, then that's what you're going to get out of it. Like there's nothing else.
Yeah.
There's no game. It's just like a diorama.
Right. But also keep in mind, you were in the age, 2012 was the antithesis of the video game that had everlasting story. So that was the end of the Mass Effect 3 saga, where it's like, what do my decisions mean? And, you know, you have games like Mass Effect, which kind of fell flat with that because they promised so much and they delivered a lot, but then in the end it didn't really mean much. And in Walking Dead, like at that point people became very kind of like jaded and disingenuous with that design. They're like, well, what does a decision in any video game mean? Well, it means a lot or it means nothing. And you know, those kind of like underpinnings of that game design start popping up, and you see that like inside that design, like you look behind the curtain, you're like, ooh, yuck, I don't want to see that anymore.
I guess I'm lucky because
I
was one of those people who thought that in the end of Mass Effect 3 that was a huge decision, even though you're completely right. Like what actually happens, even though you're ostensibly given a huge choice, what happens isn't hugely different. And I think it's because when I play these Telltale games, to me the cool thing is that you are making a decision.
Yeah,
it's like it doesn't even matter if the story doesn't change. And in a lot of times, especially in the second season, I think Telltale has leaned into this. You will sit there and agonize over a decision to say something. And then your character, Clementine, will start to say whatever you chose, and then someone else will interrupt you. And you don't even get to say it. But the fact that you sat there and you agonized about whether you were going to say this or that, like, that is it.
But doesn't that feel kind of like one trick? Like, ha ha!
No, because I'm so in the story that every time I have a decision to make, even if I never get the chance to act on that decision, I almost feel like it's exciting. I kind of love when I sit there and I agonize about who I'm going to side with, and then before I can side with either of them, they both die.
Okay, like, so Jamie, do you want me to have you listened to Giant Bomb stuff? Have you ever listened to Tested stuff?
No.
Okay. I know they talked about this because Gary Whitta is entrenched there, but the fact that you can play that game without ever selecting any dialogue option, and they design that game around you around that being a 100% viable option, where you never have to actually make any dialogue decisions. When I heard that, and I heard that that is like one of the hardest things about that game to design for from the developers, because they have to make every decision be okay if you actually don't make a decision. Like, I was just like, oh, well, now I don't care at all.
That's so odd. I'm definitely kind of fall more on Jamie's side of things. The whole thing of making a decision and then just having it not matter at all is kind of funny. It kind of feels like a slap in the face, like a funny slap.
But it happens over and over and over and over and over again.
Well, no, I mean the whole like start to make a decision and then you don't even get to voice your choice. I don't think that happens very often.
Yeah.
But I think it's funny that it does, and it reminds me of a philosophy lecture.
what we discussed earlier is that although your choice may not drastically shift the plot,
yeah,
and although the episode may end the exact same way, the way that the characters respond is completely different. And so if you're playing for the story and you like these, and if you're playing for the story in a Telltale game, it's because you like the characters, not necessarily the plot. I enjoy spending time and marinating with these characters. And the fact that I can say something and they react completely differently, mm-hmm. even if their reaction does not go beyond that moment, different.
And think of it this way. It's like it's, you know, most games promise you like, okay, you'll be able to role play and how you act will determine how this world unfolds. That doesn't make any sense. Like that's not how – I'm not sure that's necessarily how reality works. Your choices have an impact, yes, but they only have a limited impact. Their scope is only so great. So I think that it's interesting to play a game where essentially you're just role playing and what's going to happen is going to happen. But like what matters is how you are perceived in the moment as you make these choices and what kind of identity you built for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And where I think the third episode of which was just released, and I'll talk more about the specifics of the season in a sec, where I think season two succeeds is that the story is so – it grabs me so tight and it does not let go that I am not even thinking about how – like the long-term effects of what I say and of my decisions, because I am like living moment to moment. I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack every goddamn second of this game in a good way. And like, I'm thinking like, oh my God, this just happened. What do I say? Oh my God, I'll say this. And, and what's fascinating to me is that, especially in season two, not so much in season one, I'm so enthralled and terrified and anxious about what's happening that it is forcing me to play in a way that I would never choose to play a game like Mass Effect or Infamous. I would never make these decisions. The game is literally the second season is about Clementine, who is a young child who in the first season is she's, you know, witness to all these terrible things happening with the apocalypse, but she remains innocent in the first season to a large extent. And I think the story of the second season is like her becoming like deeply tainted and becoming just another like awful person, even though she's still a child. Mm-hmm. And the game is succeeding to such a degree that I am making disgusting decisions, like vengeful decisions, because I hate some of these characters so much. Like I in real life would not do some of the things that I am telling Clementine to do, because the game has put me in a position where I have been just waiting to get my hooks into this one character who's been such an asshole. And then when his like comeuppance comes, like I'm constantly choosing to have Clementine partake in these awful like acts of violence when I would never do that. Like I always play the paragon, but in this game I'm like, oh my God, I'm gonna get that fucker.
I would argue that your
choices... Jamie, I think you just sold me. Like now I'm ready to go play this because that sounds intense.
It's good. The first episode,
because if you never had those feelings in the first game, which I like, everything was pretty black and white. Like I'll just keep being nice to this guy, and then he'll be nice to me, and he won't hate me. And that never happened. So if you're saying that you experienced that, and now you're just kind of like angry, that sounds really interesting.
It's good. Wait until the third episode. I just want to say real quick, Jeff. The first episode is a letdown. And not only is it a letdown story-wise, it was a letdown technically. It was some of the worst. It's just so goddamn choppy. Even on my brand new iPad with the blazing fast A7 processor or whatever it has. But I think that Telltale got the engine right on the second episode. Starting the second episode and definitely in the third episode, there's big open scenes and it's silky smooth. Very impressive. Like, I don't know what they changed, but it's definitely working smoother. And also the story just gets crazy good. But I'm sorry, Jeff, I cut you off.
I was going to say that I actually felt that I had like moments like you described in the first season, Jamie, where I don't know, the decisions, for whatever reason, they felt like they had more gravity than the decisions in other games, where they trump up the importance of their decisions. Because I feel like the decisions in other games were just like story branches that you chose. They weren't like choices that you made because you were genuinely, at least for me, because I was genuinely invested in some particular thing. It was just like, oh, like, do I choose the good option or the bad option? Or, you know, like, I think that the way that you choose in these games, even though the choices like matter less for influencing the outcomes, they matter more for like your emotional investment in the story and like how you want to be and how you want to react mm-hmm. to these asshole characters around you.
Just going off what you said, Jeff, because I think it's a perfect example of what you're describing. I won't spoil anything for you guys, but in the third episode, the most recent episode of the second season, you have a super crucial decision at the end of the episode, and the decision is simply whether or not you want Clementine to witness an act of violence occurring. And it doesn't matter if you do or not. Whether or not you do, that act of violence is going to happen. So the plot does not hinge on your decision. But so it might fall into that category you were talking about before, Griffin, where it's a decision that has no consequence, but in terms of like me emotionally, mm-hmm. that is a huge decision, mm-hmm. whether or not like to expose her to this act of violence when I've been dreaming of this happening. and yet when it's actually happening, it's gruesome. Like I wouldn't want her to witness this if she were my daughter, but I've just had this like rage pent up and now it's finally happening. And I'm like, yes. And like, that to me is more interesting than when I'm playing,
Mass Effect and
Infamous, and then when I have a moral choice to make, the screen freezes and it's like blue or red.
Right. Yeah. Slap the baby or kiss the baby.
I think that the timer also plays a role in just kind of masking the lack of consequence of your decisions, because anything that puts pressure on you like actually makes the decision immediate and makes it emotional and makes it so you're actually invested in what you do. Yeah. Like, if you have all the time in the world to just sit there and rotate your analog stick around and choose, like, who cares, you know?
Yeah, unless you're playing the first season where there are certain decisions where you didn't actually have a time limit.
Well, there's plenty of those still, but none of those...
None of the important ones.
None of those where it's dissonant. Like, I agree, Griffin, there are a few points in the first season where time is of the essence, and yet you're given infinite time.
Save Duck! Oh my God, the tractor's running over me. Save Duck. Oh my God. It's just this horrible like emergence breaking loop. And you're like, oh, okay. I'll just let this happen forever.
I think you're still going to be disappointed. There probably are still moments like that. But there's a lot more that happens in the second season that happens quickly. And the other thing I like about the second season is that it seems to be one cohesive story. Like, you're not going from place to place, or you are, but it's at least up until the third episode, you're in one situation. And that situation is like brewing, and it's just making things worse and worse and worse.
Is the gunplay / hammering things in the face not shitty anymore?
I mean, I never thought it was shitty. You're gonna do plenty of that. So if you really hate it,
okay. So you didn't have a problem in the game before, and now you're not having a problem now.
Well, I did have a problem on the Vita because it was so awful on the Vita.
Okay.
But no, like the actual mechanic of just like you have an axe, press the zombie to kill it with your axe. Like,
okay.
I don't really mind that. However, I will tell you this: at the end of the third episode, there is a point where I didn't even – it was one of those, right? I won't tell you what, but I had a choice to hack one of two things. I didn't even know that was a decision until the end of the episode where it showed me like the stats for everyone.
Oh.
And it was like, you and this many percent of people chose to do that with the axe. And I was like, oh, that was a decision? I was just like in the heat of the moment. And I just like hacked that thing. Like, but oh my God, it's great. Just play it so you can get to the third episode. And I'm worried that you might still not like it, Griffin. But even if you don't like it, I just think that the quality of the storytelling is so superb that you should at least like see it. Yeah. You know,
I don't like Walking Dead. I really don't like anything about Walking Dead at all. Period.
Are we talking about so you don't like the
I've
comic?
I've read the comic books. I've watched every episode of this TV show for the most part.
Why would you watch it if you don't like it?
Because my family likes it, and I watch it with them.
Okay.
And I've played the video game. But, Jamie, you've sold me on some parts of it, and I want to be a part of this like intensity and like that episodic nature of this game, episodic nature, like I want to be part of that. So maybe I'll jump in and just play with that.
I don't know, man. If you hate The Walking Dead as a franchise, then maybe you just stay away.
Well, I don't hate it. Like I hate like Tomb Raider, and it's like disgusting what it stands for. Like I think Walking Dead is like an uninteresting world. Like it's an uninteresting universe that you could design. Like it's flaccid in every corner.
I love the character. I agree that there's nothing I love zombies, but I agree that there's nothing special about this universe of zombies.
Right. Mm.
But
I think 3 years ago it was like it's zombies, but everybody dies. And you're like, whoa, it's so different. But I just don't give a shit now. Anyway.
I love these characters, so I think that you're right. The world is nothing special, but the characters are what makes it for me, and the characters are so rich in my eyes that it kind of populates the world in a way that games can't, even when they spend all their budgets on creating rich environments for you to explore.
I tend to agree. I was going to say, Griff, I haven't engaged with the TV show at all, but I don't know. I like the world of the game.
Yeah, it's fun.
It is a blank landscape for interesting characters at best. Yeah. Anyway, hacking.
I'll just run through. What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
I want you to talk about Transistor, Griff, because you beat it.
Okay.
But
then you talk about Stick It to the Man, because I don't know what that is.
Oh, you don't? It's the free PS Plus game for PS4.
There's a free game this month?
Neato.
Stick It to the Man. You guys haven't heard of that?
No.
I didn't even know there was a free game this month. I knew it was a thing.
Is that like the game where you throw the guy up against the wall and they stick to it?
Pretty much.
Is it Pain?
Is it like Pin the Tail on the Donkey or something?
Pretty much. It's good. You should try it.
I didn't even know there was a free game. The two of you just described it.
I don't need to say anything else about it. It's fun. Give it a try.
Is it like Racism Buttholes?
Tongue butthole.
The main character has like a weird like New York-y accent that's really off-putting, but besides that, I think it has a lot of potential.
Like,
I don't know why.
French Canadian New York.
That's another game.
Jason, put it on the pizza.
Jason,
John. Wait. So Stick It to the Man. It's a free PS4 game.
It's a platformer. It's a platformer with an art style.
Okay. You have me.
Nickelodeon, Ren and Stimpy. Okay. Well trodden soil, but I think it's gonna be fun. It's got a sense of humor. It's beautiful.
I'm more excited about it than I am about Watch Dogs.
It's like it's like Space Case, but for the modern era.
Exactly. FTL, I tried. Thank you, Jeff, for that birthday present.
Welcome.
It's excellent. I'll play more of that, but I don't need to say anything about it. Republic is great. Oh, yeah, it is great. I'll go ahead and say it's great.
And, I'm very happy to hear that. I'm excited to play it, Jamie. I haven't even opened it yet.
Yep, the first episode of that game is pretty like poor, like a tech demo. And then the second episode is setting you up for hopefully something exciting. The first episode of Republic, the enemies literally move in like lines back and forth. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm standing at my desk. Now I'm staring at a painting. Now I'm standing at my desk. Now I'm staring at a painting. And
I'm
it's
okay
just so – but it's very, very easy. Mm. And the first thing that they tell you in the beginning of the second episode is like sometimes enemies will take completely random paths, which is good because you have an ability to track.
I'm tired of this painting.
Exactly. You have the ability to track which way enemies are going, and that kind of really broke it. But in the second one, they're kind of random, and there are a few challenging parts of that game in the second one. And they, at first, the controls seem awful, like really clunky, but they really make it work somehow, like jumping between the cameras and, I don't know, setting off alarms. And I think it's the game that, like, Watch Dogs thinks it is.
Yeah, that's what I was about to ask. Like, it sounds like what I want Watch Dogs to be and what it isn't at all.
And I think that the first episode doesn't deliver on that promise, and the second episode begins to. So hopefully
that's fantastic.
Episode 3 and onward, it'll really be like a solid stealth game.
Sounds like it should not have been an episodic game.
I think maybe it had to be because I sponsored it on Kickstarter, and I really got the sense that much like Double Fine Adventure, they just had no fucking idea what they were doing.
God and damn it.
I'm glad that they were able to like hash out the first episode basically as a roadmap for themselves, and hopefully from there it'll just get better.
Speaking of Double Fine Adventure, hey, Jamie, have you finished part one
yet?
Nope. Thank
you. I really want to hear your impressions of it because I think amongst all of us, you are probably the biggest Tim Schafer fan.
I keep forgetting that I own it. And I
although have, Dave the Tentacle is probably one of my favorite games of all time, which I don't think
played.
You haven't played it.
Although
you should
might be the only person that played that game.
I played Monkey Island.
No,
I played it too. Brutal Legend. And
Brutal
Jamie
Legend.
Played it.
Yeah. Oh, yes,
Jamie played it.
I own Brutal Legend for sure. For sure.
I have not played it, but Jamie did.
I didn't beat it, but I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Yeah.
Monkey Island is a great game. Monkey Island is a seminal classic.
Yes.
You can do some insult sword fighting.
Your mother was a milk farm man, right?
That's no, your mother said. Was a dairy farmer.
Nope, I got it right the first time.
Last thing I want to say is Infamous is great.
You fight like a dairy farmer, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
Infamous is great. It's so good. It told me that I played 20% of the game today. Which is a little surprising. I don't know where the time went, but it's great. Infamous Second Son for the PlayStation 4. Looks great. Super fun. Is it like totally what I imagined next gen would be? No, it's a last gen game. It's great though.
Huh.
I love zapping people.
You mean the design though, like, but the facial animations look so good.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like they couldn't do that with the PS3.
You can't turn that controller on its side and spray paint things with the PlayStation 3.
I love that.
It's so much fun. It's really good, yeah.
Guys, can I ask you a question? So this is like an 8-hour game, right?
No.
It's a little longer.
10-hour game?
Yeah, probably. 10 to 12.
Yeah.
So
depending if you want to do like a full clear.
So weren't the previous Infamous games like 40 hours long?
No, absolutely not, no.
Okay, because I remember the previous Infamous games being like an absolute slog for me.
Nope.
Like
nope.
I was loving them and then they just got really long and
I love
they're not slogs. No.
In like 3 hours, I like got through a huge chunk of story and I like completely liberated a neighborhood of the city.
Yeah.
I feel so accomplished.
Yep.
Like
that sounds great.
It's incredible. And it's you know, it's not a hard game yet, but it's challenging. I died a couple times. Thinking about how to use your abilities best is rewarding. Mm-hmm. There's tons of abilities.
So should I trade in Watch Dogs for a guaranteed $40 in GameStop credit and buy Infamous Second Son?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, as I've said. Yeah.
If you're a PowerUp Pro Rewards member like me, you can pay $50 instead of $55. And you can also trade in. I got a $25 gift card for trading in my points at GameStop, and if you use it on a used game, it's worth double. So I got this game for free.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
That's amazing balls.
That's why I do their stupid power up pro. I also get my
I do that as well.
Oh, okay.
I don't recall the double value thing. Maybe that was just a one time.
It was a special offer on if you traded in your points for a gift for this gift card.
Okay.
Then
interesting.
You either get the value for new games and then it's twice for
I have 20,000. Is that enough?
I traded in
You guys are monsters. Stop talking about this shit.
I traded in 26,000 points for this card, but I traded it in months ago, and I've been sitting on the card. I traded it in because of the double if you use it on a used game deal.
You've been sitting on the card the whole time?
Sitting.
Does it smell like anus?
I have really bad sciatica, and it just there's a weird card-shaped dingleberry that's just wedged up there.
And you finally crapped it out today.
Yeah, that's
so you guys. Infamous. So Infamous sounds good. I'm glad that it's really short.
Oh my god, the story is like it's like so comic book like delicious.
Yeah. Yep, it's okay. It's nice. It's when you go, as I played Watch Dogs as well, and I you know it's you play this open world game and you're like, oh man, open world games are just like open. Okay, so this Watch Dogs is like the open world game that's like in middle school, like smoking behind the gym and it's like, hey man, have you listened to the new Nine Inch Nails record? It's fucking dope. Your music is
watch out.
Gay. And
watch out with the Nine Inch Nails joking, Griffin.
I'm going to hang up this call.
What?
Hanging up.
Okay, have you listened
Jamie,
to the new...
As recently as last year, Jamie has seen Nine Inch Nails in concert.
I might have seen Nine Inch Nails 3 times last year.
Okay, well, Nine Inch Nails in middle school was a different situation.
No, it wasn't! It was a better situation.
All right, fine. Okay, have you listened to the latest Kraftwerk album?
I love Kraftwerk!
Don't hate on Kraftwerk!
I knew I was going to get you on that. Okay, have you listened to the newest Marilyn Manson album?
Okay,
it's
good.
So
All right,
raw.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, it's so fucking raw, man. Like that guy.
Wait, Personal Jesus is the greatest song ever written.
You know,
guys.
He got boobs and he got his ribs taken out so he could suck his own.
I imagine that was like a record.
That's how I view Watch the kind of the Watch Dogs open world. Like, oh man, like ball, like bleh, video games, but. Like Infamous is just like let's have a great time, guys. Yeah. Like it's like the church group that's like let's go play Red Rover, and we're all having a ton of fun because this is just fun. Nobody's here to hate each other or touch a boob, but if it happens, it's fine. Like nobody is here with ulterior motives. Like it's just like. Let's have fun. Let's make name badges out of leather and whatnot. Like let's craft them and put beads on them and just be happy because it's kind of dorky. It's pretty dorky, but it's also just like a good time. Like I shot a BB gun. You're like, well, yeah, my dad shot himself in the face with a shotgun. You're like, okay, what BB gun?
Yeah,
I wanted to ask Griff a quick question. So did you – one of the things that stood out to me really quickly was about the gameplay of the game is how it is somehow simultaneously both, okay, I have to think about how I should use this ability because last time I just got spanked. But it's also, okay, there's like 3 tanks coming at me and there's a giant guard tower and there's 30 guys and I just blew it all up. All exploded.
Yeah.
Everyone's dead and I'm awesome.
Yep.
How is it both of those things at the same time?
It is both those things at the same time, and it will only continue to be both those things as the game continues. Like, you get more options, the towers get bigger, the reward is more successful, but still you'll be like, what just happened there? Like, for better or for worse. Like, late game for me was really frustrating because you're like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. This is really annoying. But then you finish it up and you're like, oh, I feel great. Just, like, whack that guy. Killed him, dead, done. Moving.
Some of the best destructibility I've seen in a game, like the physics of the towers coming down, really good in my opinion.
It's all right. It's all right.
I never played any of those Battlefield games, so I don't really know. Like that's probably the gold standard.
No,
but
of towers falling over.
You should play the Mars games. What was that?
Red Faction?
Yeah,
Jamie and I played Red Faction.
This is definitely better than Red Faction.
What?
Red Faction multiplayer was really fun.
Shoot,
I had a great time.
The nano gun at the wall, and it just disappears.
I don't care about that. I had a great time just acting like a dumb asshole in multiplayer.
Take my ostrich hammer and fuck the shit up.
It's kind of how I feel in Infamous, Jeff, so you might like it. And I cut you off. What were you going to say?
Oh, I don't remember.
Sorry about that.
No, you're fine. I was going to say, hey, do you guys want to discuss Watch Dogs a little more? Because I had some thoughts about Watch Dogs.
What?
No.
Who?
Watch Dogs.
What's that?
Oh, I said yes, but I accidentally muted myself.
You guys were just like, no, we're not talking about Watch
Dogs. Did you hear me say that the way that you felt about that Mars game, I feel that way in Infamous?
Yes, yes.
Okay,
you
had sorry.
Not muted before then.
Okay.
I feel like Watch Dogs will be a big discussion, so can we scoop out some of these smaller ones first?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Shame. Go ahead, Griffin.
Let's talk about Transistor.
Oh, never mind. Sorry.
I love it. I love the art. It's so good. That artist is amazing.
Yeah, sure.
And one of the things that kind of turned me off to Bastion right away was somehow the tone wasn't gelling with me. I didn't like the narrator. I thought what he was doing was predictable, and it was kind of like a gimmick. At least that's how I felt at the time. I probably would have a different opinion now. And this game is essentially doing the exact same thing. But maybe because the tone is different, it's a little more Blade Runner, a little less like, yes, I don't know, Secret of Mana.
Yep.
I feel like I'm totally down.
Yeah.
It's funny because for me, when I watched Griffin play, I found the stuff that he said to be really annoying. Whereas in Bastion, I didn't have that experience.
Yes. I'm in the same boat as you, Jeff, but I totally understand what you're saying, Jeremy.
It felt like in Transistor, the gravity just wasn't, just from what I saw, the gravity just didn't seem to be there. It was like,
oh my God.
It was like the Michael Scott, like the Office joke. That monster shot at you. That's what she said.
Oh my God. No, I'm coming at, like, it's so, to me, it's like a lot. It's like Michael Gibson-y. Like, he's just prattling on about weird shit. Like, why is this weapon a person? Like, why are you acting like that's not a big deal? I don't know. I like it.
It's a great
game. I only watched Griffin play for like 10 minutes, so I don't know if I'm certain of my opinions. But
Transistor is awesome. Jamie, as you're saying, like, the story is super cool because it's mostly conveyed to you like in Medius Res. Like, you start the game not knowing exactly what's happening, but like ready to go. And it doesn't do a whole lot to explain to you what's happening in both the story and the mechanics. So you kind of are just learning things as you're going. And that doesn't stop even until after you beat the game once. I will tell you that. So the art is fantastic. It the game channels this like cyberpunk noir sort of thing. But it also goes beyond that and has this really fascinating, like, psychological, like, human nature. I don't know. Like, you can get into it in certain ways. Like, by the end of the game, it gets pretty intense. But yeah, like you mentioned, like, you're talking to dead spirits that are weird functions that are like computer functions, like with / HTTP sort of things for the non-initiated. Like, they are functions with empty sets, and they are if then kind of equations that exist in that world. And it you are acquiring these people that are functions to your character, that are your functions to actions, which are also functions to your sub actions, which are also functions to your passive actions, and it just makes for such a super cool, robust combat design, which I think is more interesting than Bastion, but Bastion is also simpler, so I kind of like that part about it.
I like how crazy you can get. Like, you can use the invisibility thing to just turn yourself invisible, or you can tack it on to your dash. Mm-hmm. So every time you dash, you become invisible.
Yep.
It sounds like Materia.
Kinda, yeah, a little bit.
Like junctioning Materia and putting all on one, or added cut, or something.
A little bit.
But I think that the changes that happen when you junction are more fascinating than materia, because they become a whole new thing. It's not just like this plus the other thing.
I don't know, man. Did you read the crazy materia combos in the back of the unofficial guide that you had? Because that taught you some crazy materia combos.
I still have that somewhere. But like dash is evasive, but if you tack on an attack ability to the dash, it's not anymore. So it like completely changes the way that you go about how you fight.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. And it's one of those things where you're like, oh, well, I will start playing this game by having a short attack and a long attack and a dash. And then that's you can make it to the end of the game playing exactly like that, where you're like, I can melee, I can shoot long distance, and I can run away. Totally viable. But then, like, what's a billion times more interesting is when you start, like, combining those things together and with other things. You're like, what if I put the long and short together? What does that mean? If I put the short and long together, what does that mean? If I put the dash up my butt, how does that change the gameplay? Like, and it does. Like, it does. It just everything augments everything. You can switch through everything. And what's super cool about it, too, is, you know, which... anti-GTA, anti-Watch Dogs, like, it is when you make a brilliant gameplay mechanic, and then you tie the storytelling into that, too, which you don't see in those games. Like, in Transistor, you are rewarded, because each of these functions, each of these abilities are kind of, like, derived from a character that's in this world. And when you first find them, you may get like a little blurb of text. And then if you equip them as a secondary function and use them for a while, it will unlock another blurb of text. And if you use them as a different function, like somewhere else, like as a passive or as an active, then it will unlock another blurb of text. So it's like, it's not only rewarding you to vary your game, like your actions in combat through just like the sheer spice of life of trying new things out, but it's like, if you want to learn more about this world, you have to stick these things in different places and yes, and make yourself uncomfortable and learn what there truly might be going on.
You let it drop at the end, but I'll give it to you. That was really good.
Up the butt.
I was going to say going in, going on, or going in.
In and out forever.
Back and forth.
Something that's so interesting to me is how jarring it was for me to combine the long and the short attacks, because I'm so used to games having this is your long attack, this is your short attack. You need both. You need both of them, and you need to know when to use them. And this game's just like, well, if you want to combine them to make like kind of a medium-ish attack... And just not have a long and a short, that's cool too. And then and then you can become invisible, and then you can dash through the enemies and do all this crazy crap. It's just really fascinating. Like, if you you could not get bored, because the second that you were bored with your tactic, you could just completely change it up just for the hell of it.
Yeah. It had one of those hooks in me too, where I spent the next 2 days in my real life like having issues disassociating from it, where I was like, I'm going to do these actions. Oh, wait, rewind. I'm going to do these actions. Like, you spend time in that world where you're like, I'm going to plot out. Like, it's like the Sherlock Holmes movies, where it's like, Robert Downey Jr. is like, a punch to the neck, and then a slap chop stun to the ear, combined with a left shin kick, powdered to the face, and then flourish.
Did you say a left shin kick powdered to the face?
Powdered to the face, flourish. It just kind of has that, like, you plot out what you're going to do, and then boom, 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 boom. It does it. It's really cool. Okay, next action. And, you know, it's not something you really see in a lot of video games as their core mechanic. So Transistor, I think, is really fun and really engrossing, because the more time you spend with it, the more it unlocks, like, more possibilities through through both just like sheer volume, like in giving you new things, but then in just its other world in-game applications, like, oh, you do this and you get this, or trophies, or maybe this may be a more interesting or viable option. Like, it just does so many things to keep you intrigued.
I think you're exactly right. One of the things that I don't like about the game, which is not actually about the game, it's just so people are like, the system that you're just describing, how you basically pause and you plan out all your moves, and everything, including moving, takes up like action points, and then the moves take up a certain set of action points. I've heard a bunch of people saying that this is like implemented in this game in this way. It's a very unique thing, and I'm just like, have you all forgotten Valkyria Chronicles? Because in that game, it's the same thing. Moving and actions use up your like time, and I definitely get that vibe from this game. And I you guys know that I'm like
that excites me.
Huge, yeah. Huge into Valkyria.
I loved the first game. First game was amazing. I just second game didn't
this
really grab me.
This game is like like totally without the college experience.
What?
Isn't that the only what the second game had the... was about?
Valkyria 2 had the high school.
Yeah,
high school,
you were in battle school. You were kind of dating people, maybe.
Yeah, that wasn't my fave. First one was great, though.
Still loved it.
But no, I Jamie, that's really interesting. I'd never thought about that, that it has that kind of meter involved in your actions. But what I think what's kind of different, too, is, you know, the consequences aren't so dire as they are in Valkyria. So, like, you can run a character into combat in Valkyria, and then you can get up there and be like, well, shit, now I don't have any more action points. I guess I'll just crouch. Like, with this, you can not only back out and, like, replot every single action you take. It's like you burn through your actions and you just screw yourself. Like, just you can run around and circle kite enemies or whatever for a little while until it builds back up where you can get into your bullet time again, essentially.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Am I still? I'm not muted, am I? No.
Who?
No, you're good.
Yes. Yeah.
Griffin said something, and then I agreed, and then Griffin died.
Bah!
He shat himself.
So Transistor's great, and I should probably buy that one too. Sounds like that Watch Dogs trade can't come.
One more thing I want to say about Transistor, because I have to say it before I forget, is that there is like a 20-second cutscene in Transistor where all you're doing is riding a motorcycle and the blade is talking to you, and you can press X to accelerate, and that's the only thing that you can do to interact with the cutscene, and I loved it.
Also say there are a lot of points in that game to do things like that where it's a one-button interaction that is either prompted or not prompted that are really, really good.
All right, cool. Loving it.
Yes, which is exactly like Bastion.
I feel like the theme of this podcast for me is becoming excited about games that I wasn't previously that excited about. Awesome. Which is awesome. I'm very excited to try these things out.
Yes. So. Well, Jeff, let me tell you about Borderlands 2 for the Vita.
Oh, no. You going to make me excited about that one, too?
Nope, that game sucks.
Oh, okay.
Well, Jeff, let me tell you about Drakengard 3.
Okay, here's the thing. Jim Sterling loved that game, apparently. He said it was like the Deadly Premonition of that genre. So now I feel like I have to give it a fair shake.
Played Deadly Premonition?
Yes, I really liked Deadly Premonition. I didn't get very far.
Okay, so, yeah.
The parts that I played I thought were incredible, though. The actual gameplay parts are maybe not the world's best, but the atmosphere of the world is amazing. Okay.
One person say good things about Deadly Premonition. I've played it, and I've watched people play the entire game all the way through.
I've never...
still don't want to play it.
I wish I had played it. But I never did.
It's available on PS3, Jamie, and also on PC, actually.
And you should look into it. It's also available for the Xbox 360 for like $10.
Yeah, it originally came out for the 360 and then was later ported to both platforms. both PC and PS3.
Jamie, if you're really interested, just do what I do and watch the entire Giant Bomb Endurance run.
Okay. That actually sounds like fun.
Yeah.
I might do that.
It was a good 2008-2009.
Okay.
It's cool. I enjoyed the vibe I got from that game. I think I could maybe have fun with Dragon Guard, but what we saw was not the world's best.
if the Dragon Guard gameplay mirrors what or continues upon what I played in the first half hour, I have zero interest in that game. If yeah. there was anybody who was saying it goes beyond that, then I might give it another chance at some point.
But I don't think the gameplay goes beyond it.
Okay, if the game design or the merit to it went anywhere beyond that, then sure, I'll give it a
chance. But Nier was so good.
It was so good. But if Jim Sterling says it's the Deadly Premonition of fucking Dynasty Warriors, then I don't give a shit. Because there are, that is like 18 different things in one sentence that I could give less of a crap about.
But he might have like cracked the code. Like I feel like he has an uncanny ability to realize when a game is not just bad, but it's like laughably bad. Like it's not just the Transporter 3, it's the Expendables 2. Like you want to watch
it's
it.
It's the Earth Defense Force of like Japanese
sure,
games
yeah.
or Japanese fighting games.
Sometimes it takes a keen eye to bear witness to things like that and say to yourself, I could enjoy how awful this is.
See, I actually think that with Deadly Premonition, it's very like David Lynchian. It's very just weird and kind of like tonally dissonant in
yes.
really kind of goofy, funny
yeah.
ways.
Yeah, having watched people play that game all the way through, it's weird. But it's not a
but
game
it's
actually want to play.
Because it's good weird, though.
It's 70% bullshit downtime bad game design. 30% really goofy, fun, cool, like, silly.
All right.
Like, well, FK and my coffee sort of thing.
Yeah. I was having fun with it. But, you know, whatever. Okay, so Dragon Guard. Griffin, tell us about it.
I did. It sucks.
Dragons pee in it.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Watch the video. Super Time Force, I played.
Oh, yeah.
Game is cheap. It's from Cappy. It's from Cappy.
Yeah.
Wait, when you said cheap, you mean like money cheap, right?
It's like $15 on Xbox One or Xbox 360.
Xbox One in the mail.
I have neither of those two platforms.
All that game.
Otherwise, I would play it.
Well, it's a cheap, fun game. I've been waiting for it for like a year and a half. I had a great time playing it. Yeah, I don't. It's just kind of a weird one-way conversation for this.
Did you
game.
Sour
well,
on?
I. What, Jamie?
You go, Jeff.
I was going to say I played it, Griffin, at PAX a year ago.
Mm-hmm. It's changed.
So is it like Contra with 30 lives, and you can be any of a whole bunch of soldiers, and they all go through the level and do their paths again and kill all the enemies?
It has not changed. you nailed it succinctly. Yes,
yeah.
It is.
The concept was awesome. I thought it was super cool. It did not lend itself very well to a show floor because it seems like it's a game that really requires immense concentration to really do in a cool, fun way.
If you want to be good at it, but if you're like just fine with like fucking around and being a dumbass like I did through it, then it was fun. It was great. You're like, just run into this bullet, and then I just rewind and. Run into this bullet again, then rewind, and then jump over the bullet, and then run into the next bullet, and rewind again, and then take the shield guy through the rest of the level.
Yeah, it's kind of like, Jamie, just to give you an idea, it's like if somebody entered the Konami code in Contra, except you have to set up each individual life, and then at the very end, all those lives like act as meat shields and kill enemies for you as your last dude makes it through the level.
It's a ROM. It's essentially awesome. A playable ROM hack where it's like all these ghosts are playing along with you. But it makes for a really awesome gameplay mechanic where you're like, if you get too good, and your ghosts help you out too much, like you get ahead of them, so then it's like now you're. Facing guys that you had faced one time, but you're facing again for a new time, but now you're on. I don't know. It's a very hard game to describe.
Yeah, it so much weird stuff happens when you set up things for other guys to do, and then you make progress, and the new guy that you put in fucks up the thing that the old guy was doing. I had this experience at PAX. Like, I was like, wow, this is really complicated.
Yeah. Like, it makes sense when you're like, okay, I run forward and a guy shoots me. Okay, now I rewind and I run forward with the shield guy and I block the bullet and that guy can run forward. But then you're like, okay, what if I run forward really slowly and get shot?
Oh, interesting.
Shit. Like, but they make a really good mechanic with how to deal with that, and it's like powering up. Like, so if you save your characters like in future time in later playthroughs, you collect them, and then you can use their superpowers. Where you're like, you're running around, you can hold a button down to charge their powers, and then you can unleash multiple ghosts' powers as your own. So you're like, I'm running around the shield guy because he's easy. And then you launch the super shield, but then you have a guy who's like spraying the entire screen with bullets and missile launchers and giant shotgun shells and like penetrating lasers because you collected them all through your trek because you saved them from the bullets that were going to kill them.
That was...
It probably blows your mind a little bit, Jamie.
I was like, with every new thing that you said, Griff, I was adding it to the like the menagerie of other things that were happening, and it sounds crazy.
I'm gonna end this here. There is a.
Did you just get really loud?
Character? No, I don't know. Did I?
No.
I must have turned you.
There's
guys up.
A character you can recruit. By okay, every character you can like, you can find additional characters and levels, and they're usually being tortured / killed in some amusing way. But this is a dinosaur that is like this hip red 80s dinosaur, and you find it pretty early on. And he wears a Hawaiian shirt and has sunglasses and is on a skateboard and yells "Kookabunga." He's pretty good.
Xbox One pre-ordered back in time.
Yep. Yes, he pre-ordered that Xbox One back in time, yeah. So I'll probably do a video for it because it's if you don't have any idea what's going on with this game, it's really hard to describe.
I want to watch you do that video.
So, yes, let's. But it's funny. It's a platformer. It has an art style.
And it will eventually come to PC.
It will eventually come to PC.
Or PS3, yeah. PS4, or something, I hope.
Hopefully.
If it doesn't, I'm going to cry salty tears.
The saltiest. Okay, that's the end of my crap here. So then, now.
Oh, my God.
Real meat, meat and potatoes.
Let me just lube up here.
I feel like with my roughly 1.5 hours of Watch Dogs gameplay, I'm not sure how much meat and potatoes I can give you.
I think that you probably saw all of the game, Jeff. Like, you literally have seen what would be repeated.
What is that sound?
Is that Griffin?
I think it is.
What is happening?
I was
just
saying, Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs? Where's my favorite game? Works. So, Watch Dogs. Jamie's right. In the first hour and a half of gameplay, I saw probably like the best and the worst of Watch Dogs and all of Watch Dogs all at once. I will say that the opening gameplay moments are fun. They're tense. Did you enjoy the first part of the tutorial, Griffin?
Yeah, absolutely. It was good fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really good fun, and I was like, hey, this would be a great linear game. And then...
how disappointed you were.
I ran out of the stadium that I had to hack my way through with lots of cool, interesting, semi-scripted moments. And then the game just immediately got bad. Like, the moment that I got in a car, I was like, oh, man.
Yeah. Escape the stadium! And you're like, how? With these Etch-a-Sketch controls?
Yes. there's so many things in this game. It's like a game full of amazing ideas and interesting potential, and the potential just is never realized. Like, there's so much interesting stuff they could be doing with the hacking, but I realized that, like, when you're walking around town, all you can do, short of causing traffic issues, is just blow things up.
Yep.
Like, yeah. You can just hack transformers and make them explode.
Yeah. Sounds like you might as well be playing Infamous.
Exactly. Yeah,
you should be.
Except in Infamous, stuff zaps out of your hand, yeah. And in this one, an explosion just happens.
Right.
It's like you're spending the entire game detonating C4.
It's also like the most brilliantly designed QuickTime event where you're like, you don't have to do it, but you should. Right.
Yeah. If you go through an intersection without disabling the traffic light, you are doing it wrong.
Can I ask you guys a question? Because I don't have it.
Yeah.
And no one's really talking about this. Like, how are the graphics? Because I'm not sure if I'm just like not – if it looks different maybe when you're playing it at home on your TV. Like, are you impressed?
Mediocre.
Yep. Really?
They're clearly above PS3 in terms of rendering quality, but there's a couple key problems. There's the dead eyes, which is like a major issue for me. And there is the fact that the lighting in daytime is incredibly harsh. And there's the fact that like the modeling on things like cars just looks terrible.
Mm.
There's just a lot of really boneheaded art design decisions.
And he looks like a retard. Like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that word. He looks so bad. Like,
just a touchdown.
He has massive spina bifida. He's like constantly like his chin is in his chest, and it's like.
He's looking at his phone. He's looking at. You can pull up hacking mode, which is by the pushing button. And I don't know why you'd ever have hacking mode not on, but basically on, right? he just stares at his cell phone
because you want to role play.
It's a terrifying simulator of what I'm going to be in a year. Looking at my cell phone all the time.
I can't wait until Mega 64 does this game.
Does exactly what I said earlier, which is just a selfie picture of him the entire video game. There's a point in the game where it's like, activate your cell phone for your second screen experience. And I'm like, what can that be? Just me freaking taking nasal shots of myself the entire video games. I'm peering down at my stupid.
Can we start Aiden Pierce's Instagram and just have really derpy faces he makes during the cinematic?
So the other thing that I've been saving was, I was playing this game the other day and you're going through the first part of the game and they're, you know, it's doing their tutorial stuff where you're like, oh, the vigilante, like me. You are a bad man with good motivations or whatever. Bleh. But then it gets so ham-fisted where it's like you meet a person and she's like, she says this. You always act like such the big brother.
No, that was
and
okay.
And then he's like, turns to the camera and he puts his sunglasses and he says, Watchdogs.
No, okay, let me
and
let
then
me set up
and
the
then immediately after that, immediately after she says that, she says he doesn't say anything because he just turned to the camera and said Watchdogs. She just didn't even know that happened. She says, you're Griffin? Always oh. watching. And then he turns to the camera and he says, Watchdogs.
No. Okay, so let me set it up. The name of the mission is Big Brother, okay? And then, so Griffin's making it a lot worse than it actually is. I think it's maybe not the best writing ever, but the name of the mission is Big Brother. And you go, and it turns out you're the person's big brother. You're the girl, the woman's big brother.
It doesn't
turn out. So she's like, oh, you're such a good big brother to me.
The entire game is like, my D died. And he's like, okay. I should go to my sister's place.
Somebody thought they were clever because they referenced Big Brother in the name of the mission.
That's what I'm saying. And she's like, you're such the big brother. He's like,
but he does not. He doesn't deadpan. The game doesn't make it out to be a pun. It's just like, oh, we're trying to create a family moment. And yeah, it kind of falls. It falls a little flat, but that's only because there's no chemistry between the leads and they have dead eyes.
You were born in 1984.
No, I don't think that's what they're doing there. There is no removing of the sunglasses and who riffs playing really loudly.
He looks like a 40-year-old Billy Joel.
In the exact gameplay of that moment where it's like the gameplay, if you want to say Jeff.
She hugs him.
She hugs him and she's like, oh, thanks for coming to his birthday party where you're dressed as a fucking weird French hobo. Like, that's fine. And then she's like, he just ran inside to get his weird French action figures. And then she's like,
no, it's
you've
not
always
bad.
Been the big brother. Stop beating up people. And he's like, well, I'm just watching.
No, okay. He's twisting this a little bit. I think the game has a lot of issues, but that particular scene was not that like ridiculous. All that happens is she's like, like I said, it says Big Brother. Of course, you're thinking of 1984. Then she's like, oh, you're my Big Brother, and you're like, okay. It actually referred to the fact that they're family.
All right.
Then she's like, I hope you stop with your crime crap, and he's like, well, I'm still watching out for you, which means that he hasn't stopped with his crime crap, but he's lying to her.
And now, talk about the next mission that happens immediately 5 seconds after that.
That's the one that I haven't. You hack into her cell phone.
Yes.
I haven't done that yet.
Okay. So then you get into a car and you chase the guy that was calling her. And while you're calling her, while you're chasing this guy, she's calling you and she's like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, I'm busy. And she's like, are you fighting crime again? And he's like, no. And then you get out of the car, and because the guy is like crashed into a telephone pole, and she's like, Aiden, what, get on the phone. You're fighting crime again, aren't you? And you're like, no, the interference, it's you're breaking. You should probably reach. She's like, Aiden, you are beating up criminals again, aren't you? And he's like, and then meanwhile, you have bull rushed this guy, speared him into the ground, beaten the fuck out of him with your blackjack.
Okay, if there was ever a game with literal narrative dissonance, this one would be it. Because literally, there is a reputation meter. And so, like, if you, like, stop crimes and stuff, your reputation goes up pretty significantly. But if you kill civilians, the game, the cars handle like they're all just on ice just all the time. So you are going to kill people. You're just going to kill people. It's just a fact of life. And there are missions that require you to drive really fast. So you run over people. And for each person you run over or even injure, you get a little down arrow. But the effect on your reputation is utterly negligible. Yeah. Because the game knows that you're just going to kill a lot of people.
Right. Yeah, the game also knows that its design is based around a bunch of horse shit. Which it starts from the beginning when you interact with your sister and the game says, Watch Dogs, as I just described.
So it doesn't happen like that. Okay, go on.
Okay, so there are situations where are doing missions where you're being a vigilante and you're like, I'm going to stop crimes and use my hack skills and listening to people on their telephone networks. And then this guy's like on his phone. He's like, I'm going to beat the fuck out of this lady. And you go track him down and you're like, no, you're not. And then you race him down and you beat him with your stupid like stick pole, and he's dead in the street and nobody notices anything. And then you walk to a kiosk that is literally 5 feet away and you're like, I would like to buy an energy drink. And then that takes 45 seconds to buy an energy drink. And then the shopkeeper walks away and you steal the money out of the register and it says you lost karma. But while you were doing that, running around chasing that beady uppy guy, you're running through locations where your hacking phone thing is saying, hack this guy. And just
that has
constantly
no effect at all.
Raking in money from these people around you. And you're like, I guess I can just steal money from people as long as it's not direct.
Yeah. I did not know that you could lose reputation for stealing directly, which I think is hilarious.
Any crimes that are done directly, you lose stuff.
Well, I think the reputation is supposed to be what they see. So if they see you doing it, then they'll know that you're bad. If they don't see it, then they won't know. So it is at least consistent in that way. Also, in response to the beating the people up and not actually killing them, but kind of leaving them like clotheslined on the ground, people actually do react, but it does absolutely nothing. They're like, oh my God, there's a guy on the ground.
It's also the most disgusting like 1996 NWO versus like WCW N64 sound effects that are happening where it's like I have my surround sound on, so like somebody in a blimp in like the Goodyear blimp 3,000 feet up to the northeast is like, and then somebody else immediately next to me, like sitting on my lap, is like, ah! So I'm like, oh,
so if we could look for a moment at like what's wrong, big picture with this game, I think that rather than the Watch Dogs, I think that the game is at its best when it's like trying. Or when it's not trying to be GTA, when it like does the thing that it does cool, when it has these tight missions that focus on interesting hacking, maybe a little bit of emergent gameplay, interacting with the world in ways that you haven't interacted before, like putting up the little blockade things to make cars fly up in the air. That's fun. But like the moments when like they're like, hey, you want to explore town and pick up fixer vehicle contracts where you have to race your vehicle across town? Mm-hmm. That's when like. They're like completely aping GTA, but they can never measure up to GTA because GTA, like when they do that shit, like they think about it, they design those moments, and for better or worse, they're like fun.
I know what you're saying. I agree, Jeff. I think that there's a lot of like crappy mission design, but like I don't think there's anything wrong with like the missions that I've encountered so far. Like it's totally serviceable. Like it's like, oh, here's the driving mission, here's the gunning mission, here's the protecting mission, here's all the missions of any open world game you've encountered before. It's just I barreling through the story like I'm trying to do now. It's so uncomfortable where it's like everything is like a Horatio's what's his name?
Horatio Alger? Rags to Riches?
No, like the
American Dream?
The dude from CSI Miami who's like...
Tony Danza.
Yeah, he's like... yeah, he's like, oh man, we bought a new puppy, but it killed a man. We should have kept a better eye on it. Watch Dogs! And then he puts his sunglasses on and they're like, ugh! Gross!
So, anyway...
Griffin... It's being amazing. This is the best podcast ever. Griffin, can you reenact the entirety of Watch Dogs to the point where you are, please? Now.
happily. Absolutely, yeah.
Do you like canines on your timepieces? Watch Dogs. But wait, so anyway, can I just say some more things real quick?
Yeah, please.
The moments when I have the most trouble with the game is when it tries to do GTA stuff, like when it tries to make you drive in your hacking game and the driving system is just, or like when it tries to like have licensed music, except it's like somebody just...
It is a little bit like a knockoff.
Here, listen to this licensed music and press the right key to skip to the next random one.
It sounds like a 35-year-old like IRS agent put his iPod on shuffle.
Pretty much. The feel I get from it is just that they're like, okay, we've got this concept. It sounds pretty cool. We want this to compete with GTA, so I guess we need to add licensed music, even though it doesn't. Licensed music as a concept just does not jive with that world at all.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it's like you get into the car and it's like, news break! The vigilante has struck again in the East Village area of the town of Chicagoland. And you're like, skip, 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 skip. And it's constantly flashing, but like, this action is disabled. And you're like, really? Because I'm a hacker man, and this is my iPod.
It's weird because it's like, I just don't expect there to be that kind of music in a game where they're trying to create this tense, kind of gritty noir aesthetic. In like a comedy game, throw whatever music you want on me. Give me a funny radio station. Right. In this game, they don't give you a radio station at all. They just give you tracks. Yeah. And it's like the first time I got in a car in this game, like I'm doing this like tense stalking situation. And then I get in the car and Kid Cudi's Day and Night is playing.
Oh, God.
Right. There's no curating with it. Like, as far as there's never been a mission where you get into it and you're like, okay, this mission, now this song is playing, and now everything jives. I'm pumped.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like you get in the car and it's like, The Big Boppers from 1970s, Big Poppin' Downtown on the Wednesday evening is playing. And you're like, oh, God, it's Chicago, isn't it? I get it. It's Chicago.
There's just all these weird little moments like that. And I think it's just, it's a game that is just super bloated and super, like, full of stuff that shouldn't have been there. And I think it just started with an interesting concept and then just went way, way off the rails. Yes. And I'm interested in just exploring that hacking stuff, getting in, getting my fix, and then being done with the game after that, because there's just a lot of other bullshit in it, which just feels like GTA, which I kind of am ambivalent towards to begin with, except way less fun.
It sounds like the game really suffers from a lack of direction in general. Like, it doesn't sound like there was some creative, like, mastermind behind it. It sounds like it was like a couple thousand people who had a couple thousand ideas, and nothing gels with anything else in the game.
Well, and Ubisoft has, like, notoriously huge development teams, so it makes perfect sense.
I wouldn't even go that far, guys. Like, I would say one of the things that really annoys me about this game is there's been a lot of really awesome open world games in the last couple of years, and this game specifically takes one, like, not even a couple ideas and does them well. Like, it takes one, maybe two ideas and is like, okay, let's build a game around this. And it's very clear. And now it's like, where can we get this idea to work in? Okay, this setting, all right. And now everything is one contrivance hanging off the next, which is like, do you believe in this? Like, it's like this. It's a small metropolitan area that is all wired into the internet, that is a giant Facebook owned by the government. Is that weird? No. But what if somebody hacked it? Now it's weird. it's just a terrible game design, or, like, premise design. But then it's like, there's nothing interesting. Like, it's like, you can hack, you can look in cameras and solve puzzles. That's cool, but that does not need to be in this game. Because this game, that's 10%. This game, 90% is GTA, as you've said.
Exactly.
It's not even like new, interesting GTA. Now,
no, it's a shadow of, like, GTA. It's like shitty knockoff GTA.
Let me blow your mind here for a second. Yeah, it is a Chinese replica, because it's like the old GTA. It's like the 2000. It's GTA 4, where you're like, ah, this guy has a conflicted past, and I don't give a shit about him. let me blow your mind here. When I was playing this game, immediately I was like, oh my God, this could be the best William Gibson novel ever created, because that intro is really good, where you're in this lobby of this thing and this guy is in a trench. Oh no. Well, somebody left. It's probably just me. So I got hacked. Not going to blow your minds.
No.
Wait, hold on. I'm gonna come up with something. Do you?
Now we have to do it, Jeff.
Do you?
I'll speak Aiden Pierce. Fucking hate bandits.
Are you gonna kill bandits again? I thought your bandit killing days were behind you.
I killed my niece. I have this cell phone.
Aiden Pierce, do you like hacking?
From time to time, I hack a little bit every now and then. I'm mostly a barbecuing man.
How do you feel about government surveillance?
Obama.
Same way I feel about Canis Lupus.
Let's watch dogs.
You know how they made the mod for what is it? Dark Souls 2, when you die, it says, Thanks Obama.
Yeah.
They should make a mod for Watch Dogs. Whenever you spy on someone, it says, Thanks Obama.
No, it should just be after you complete any mission, it just says, Watch Dogs.
And then the guy
so much better than us.
The guy from Google goes, yeah!
Wow! How many Wolfram Screams are used in Watch Dogs?
No, it's Wilhelm Screams.
Wilhelm Screams is like... All right. The Wolfram Ducks. There's only one kick to the nuts that I've seen so far. Okay, so what I was going to say was, what would be super awesome was if they just took this up one notch and made it more GTA, where you play Neuromancer, where you're playing the hacker, the mercenary, and the brains. So you had like your game design where you're like, this is you're interacting with this world where you're like, I play as three different people. They have three different abilities, just like GTA. I think it'd be much more interesting because, you know, you could have everybody walking around the streets, checking future cars and whatnot. But it's, you have your heist missions where it's exactly like Neuromancer, where you're like, we gotta pump this fucking like wet work shit into this fucking like religious convent to flush them out to create this weird riot so we can pull this diskette copy of this dead hacker out so he can help us jack this black ice that nobody has seen before.
You know what was a better game about hacking? Shadowrun for the Super Nintendo.
I never played it.
It's a great game. You don't like it, Griffin?
It's not a good game about hacking.
It's a good game about Shadowrun. It's got some hacking in it.
It's not a good game about hacking. It's a good game about Shadowrun. Shadowrun Returns is a better game about hacking.
You go into the Matrix, and then you walk, and sometimes you hit stuff.
Yeah, it sucks.
You have to pick up the package.
I'm just saying, like...
Still a better game about hacking
in
than
a world
Dogs.
Where you're going to copy GTA, like, if they just moved it up one level, it would be more interesting to me. Like, of course, Chicago, where you start and like Wrigley Field, is the more palatable, like more popular thing. You're like, I'm a guy with a baseball hat and sideburns and a face mask. Like, doesn't everybody relate? That works a lot better.
I have
than
soulless eyes.
Right, that
you?
Works a lot better than this like heroin addicted, like I'm gonna die because my kidneys are failing and my brain is dead, like character from Neuromancer. So these are just my personal hopes, but that beginning of the game, like, does it serves as a tiny little spark where I'm like, ah, it could be amazing.
Yeah, no, I think that tutorial mission shows really well. And then after, like I said, the moment you exit that stadium, you're like, oh.
Yeah, not even the tutorial, just like that beginning. Like, if they had just changed these two mysterious young dead girl who's in the Matrix, that'd be great. Done.
I think when they make open world games like this, I feel like they have a compulsion, developers have a compulsion to make you spend time in it because they're so proud of it. And the thing is, like, why can't they just go the infamous route where they make this huge-ass world, but you can do everything you need to do in it really quickly, because who gives a crap? Sure, it's a great, beautiful, pretty world, but I don't want to, like, spend hours, like, sneaking along side streets.
Yeah,
right. Nobody has wanted to do that since GTA 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. What was I going to say? I don't even remember. It's late. It's a game. Watch out.
Pero ojos. No, wait. What's watch in Spanish? Mirar.
Pero mirar. I am the pet sitter you hired. I am here to watch dogs.
I've heard that you like to keep an eye on your canine pets.
Yes, I like to observe dogs.
So because this game sucks, also laughing, because this game sucks, they were talking about this on Giant Bombcast, but I think it's super smart that Sony did what it did with the PS4 and was really stressed the indies early because there is nothing going on in AAA right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know if we want to get into that right now at this
I won't.
This
I just wanted to mention
frame, but yes, you're right.
I'm running on fumes.
Part 2 will
I think
cover
we can just
the dearth of
I think we can bang this out really quick here without any commentary, just like to get this done. Just be done with it.
I mean, just read the things.
Just read the things.
We don't have to read the things. We
just
can just
read the things.
Talk about the things.
Well, do you want to read them, or do you want to like talk about them tomorrow?
Just read the things.
I don't think Griffin's freedom, Al.
Okay.
I want to talk about these things with you guys, but I cannot do it tonight.
It's so late, though. I mean, I'm saying not not in time I'm frame this evening, that. But like it's so late. Why even bother? Okay, because like there's so many things on this list that it doesn't even matter at this point.
Okay, well let's go through the list and then resolve to talk about me waving signs about AAA
let's
crashing.
Just vote on who wants to talk about what.
I'm going to start reading them. Okay. I'm going to skip the ones that are dumb. Far Cry 4 was announced. there's a person on the cover that looks whiter than the person that he's holding
you're
his head
skipping
up.
The dumb ones? I'm confused.
Ryu being sued by Philips is, you know, people being sued by stuff is nothing new.
I just
oh my
think
God,
it's
I
interesting
missed...
because it's being blocked. Like, their shipments into the U.S. are being blocked by Philips right now.
Yeah, it'll be... It's not like it matters. It's not like they're hurting their inventory right
Oh, yeah.
Now.
The trickle is not has now gone to a non-trickle.
Yeah. Now there might be demand. I missed the most important story, which is that there was a huge Xbox One price cut announced, which I can't believe we haven't talked about yet.
Happy birthday!
There's some stuff to unpack there. But yeah, that's something we can definitely talk about in the future.
I can lump in a bunch of the Sony ones, so I'll just read them real quick. So huge losses for Sony, and more losses forecast for 2014, 2015, but less than this year.
And
so,
their games division is doing well.
Their games division is doing well. PS4 is already profitable, and Kaz Hirai, as CEO of Sony, says that he predicts the PlayStation 4 will be more profitable for Sony than the PlayStation 2. That does not mean that they will sell more units than the PlayStation 2.
No.
That just means that he thinks that for Sony, the PS4 will be more profitable than the PS2.
Also breaking news, Satya Nadella predicts that Xbox will be the best-selling console of all time.
No, I read this.
I believe him.
No, that's I read the Kaz Hirai story like a little more honestly, I guess, because he was already like qualifying his own statement, like even without being prompted. He was like, wait a minute, I don't mean we're going to sell more than PS2.
Also,
please understand me, there are different revenue streams that open up with this console, and I think it's going to be good for us. Like,
yeah, also they've already
we are the most Netflix.
They've also kind of eaten their humble pie already, so I'm more inclined to right now trust what they're saying versus Sony of PS3 era.
Yeah. Halo 5, who cares?
Yeah,
I care, because let me do my lump up. My lump up is, what the fuck is happening with E3 here in 2 weeks? Because they've announced, Microsoft that is, Halo 5 Guardians, coming out in 2015. It's not... Halo 5... Diaphragm protectors coming
oh
to God. A station near you. Also, Xbox One price drop. Jeff, you're right. It is now $399 minus the Kinect that is happening during E3.
Worse deal because than the $450 with Kinect and Titanfall.
Sure. Yeah. Unless you just don't care about those things.
Sure.
So we're in a weird place right now because those things are being announced pre E3. What does that mean for E3? Like, you'd think those big things that you would announce during E3 to engage more.
Well, they have to announce the new Mirror's Edge sequel that's coming out next month.
Griffin, can I just tell you, slow down the hype train, Griffin. Slow it way down. For Microsoft, you need to bring that thing down to like just like, you know, in Phantom and Spirit Tracks, how there's like three speeds for the train. Put it on the first speed.
Coming in here, all the
board. Put it on the first speed.
To Xbox One.
I think we're gonna get. This is what we're gonna get. Still, Uncharted, Mass Effect, Dragon Age.
Yep.
We're gonna get those.
Are you saying
those haven't been said yet? And then we're also going to get the Mirror's Edge 2 available for PlayStation 4 June 10th.
Well, Uncharted's already been announced. It was announced at the VGX.
Yeah, but we're going to see it.
I agree. I think we're going to get a lot of please be excited for 2015.
Well, I want to stop you guys here. I think if we're going to do E3 predictions again
next week,
we're not.
Hold off, because what I'm saying right now is E3 predictions have gone all sorts of crazy because Xbox has gone, Microsoft has gone willy nilly. Nintendo is going all sorts of the place. We don't know what's happening. So let's not go right now because we don't have time. Everybody's tired.
Okay. I'm tired. Just one really quick. Okay. It's going to be super quick. So we're watching this trailer.
Obama's Illuminati.
No. Listen. We're watching this trailer. It's kind of futuristic. What is
all
it?
Black people can smell gold.
It's coming out yesterday.
No, listen. It's different from that. Although that will happen. We're watching this trailer. It's kind of futuristic. It's in space. Oh my God, who are these aliens? I don't recognize this universe. What's this? And then at the very end, we hear this. Shepherd. And then that's it.
It's exactly that. It is exactly that.
What's that?
No, actually, I'm going to change it a little bit for you. Entire trailer is live action. Okay.
Okay.
Leads off the Xbox conference. Okay. Live action trailer. Big words, BioWare. We see a family, a space family, okay, living in space on a space colony, okay?
Sure, yeah.
And they
a lot
are
of
pointing...
jumpsuits, clean lines.
Yep. Oh, yeah, no, yeah, exactly. Remember, all live action, this is all live.
Yep.
So then they are with their kids, and the kids are playing with space toys, okay? Mm-hmm. And then the boy points out to the horizon, right? And then there's a ship approaching, okay? And there's an explosion in the corner, like, of the screen, right? And then the shepherd thing happens.
Shepherd.
And then it says, you know, coming 2015.
BioWare.
No, it says coming. Episode 1, coming 2017.
No, okay, no. Okay. I got another one. Okay. Here's mine. It's,
The new threequel begins.
Beautiful live-action grassy plain, like... It's like 60 frames per second, like in the new modern filming, so it's kind of weird, like everything's moving too fast.
Mad World is playing, of course.
Yeah, of course. and what other song is there? It's beautiful. And then, you know, one sheep steps into frame, stumbles on there. Yep. Suddenly.
Bittersweet Symphony instead.
And then another sheep mounts that sheep. Starts fucking the shit out of it, and it says, "Shepherd,
watchdog."
Then Horatio Sands comes up and says, "Watchdogs."
Horatio Sands.
Yes, from SNL.
Can we get you a little white there? Yo, Watchdogs totally rad.
No, he's gotta be doing his Sonic voice. He's gotta be doing his Sonic voice.
I love chili dogs.
Yeah, so anyway, video games suck. Everything's gonna blow up. Who gives a fuck?
I'm excited for indies. There's going to be a lot of great indies. There's going to be some fun Nintendo games. Zelda's going to be announced.
I don't think they're blowing their load. We're going to get some cool stuff. So I'm holding out hope.
I believe there will be one major release for each
okay, we're getting
console
too
maker
far.
In the
we're
fall.
Going, we're going to that.
Fine, we're getting too deep.
Stop
Sorry,
it.
Going too deep. We'll have to pull out.
Jeff, talk about YouTube quickly buying Twitch for $1 billion that hasn't happened yet.
Hasn't happened yet. YouTube might buy Twitch. Really big deal because they'd be cornering that market while it's still... experiencing explosive growth. Twitch doesn't have the capacity to handle it on their own. They might finally get rid of that delay that everyone hates so much. Really big deal and a really smart acquisition if it's true. Unfortunately, it's not confirmed true yet. It was reported by either Forbes or like VentureBeat or something big like that. But who knows? A couple other little bits. Remember that whole controversy everyone about Nintendo and the YouTubers? They have now announced a revenue sharing program for quote-unquote proactive YouTubers, which I'm assuming are people who don't say bad things about their games.
Oh, God. They're in the take.
they haven't explained the provisions of it yet, but it sounds to me, you know, it might just be that they name drop, that they say, you know, blah, 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 made by Nintendo, you know, who knows? But that is a thing. So I guess they're trying to meet people halfway. I feel like when Nintendo meets people halfway, when everyone else is being good, it's like somehow progress for Nintendo, even though they're actually 2 steps behind everyone else.
Watch Dogs.
Also, NFC has been confirmed in Smash Brothers, and I'm really sad because I don't even know what to make of that.
What is NFC for Nintendo? Go now, NFC
Mario.
Nintendo.
Mario's.
No, what does it mean? What is NFC? Nintendo Function Control.
Nintendo Figure Platform. No, it's NFP, Nintendo Figurine Platform. I'm pretty sure. I'll check right now. Did you not expect me to actually know that?
Nobody knows because nothing's out. Like, there's nothing that's out.
No, they announced the Nintendo... Here, I'll find it.
Nintendo Force Control.
Nintendo Figurine Platform. Yeah, I was right.
It's not
Don't
true.
Doubt my Gaff whispering.
No, it's not true because Gaff is garbage. That's not actually announced.
No, it was announced in major media outlets.
No, it is not.
They Nintendo released a press release with pictures.
I disagree.
NFB is compatible with multiple software titles: Game A, Game B, and Game C.
Uh-huh. Game A, B, and C are all Mass Effect games for the 2DS.
Okay, well, I will challenge you on this. I disagree. It is not NF whatever garbage they came up with.
NFP? It is. It was on actual slides that I looked at just now.
Actual real slides? Sure, sure. We shall see. I whatever.
Do you not believe the thing that actually happened in reality?
No, I do not believe the slideshow that got leaked onto a garbage internet site that doesn't actually exist for executives.
No, but that's been passed around on like
by
Polygon.
Every major media.
I'm saying that NFP. What I'm saying is NFC is funny, so let's make a joke of that for Nintendo. NFP, Nintendo Platform Community, or whatever the crap it's going to be. No,
dude,
whatever they have there
I'm
is
pretty
not
sure
real.
Nintendo officially announced it.
No, nope, no.
Do you want me to find the press release?
Yes, send it to me.
Okay.
They're going to play this back when Griffin, like, massacres, like, 30 people tomorrow.
This is gonna be... No. No. No.
Oh, my gosh.
He was doing fine, and he was sitting at his desk, and he just started slamming his desk and screaming Miyamoto.
No. No, I'll be about it. No.
Can I read you Satoru Iwata's quote?
No.
What is especially unique about NFP is that it is not classed as an accessory product of a certain software title, but as a platform itself.
Nope. Give me the press release. Give me the press release.
All right. I'll look for it.
Dude, from Nintendo.
You can use your action figures in Game A, Game B, Game C.
Game Watchdogs.
It was during their investor briefing, dude.
Dude, I don't care what Gaff says their stupid
there are
fucking like NFP
Nintendo
thing is
everything.
From
.com.
Their slideshow. I'm Taking saying this from... is okay, so if Natal is still Natal right now, then Natal is not it is Kinect. If
Griffin, David Gibson is the original source, senior research analyst, head of software and services, games, internet, social media, tech, and IT.
This is
interest.
The thing
he
that
lives
it's
in
like
Tokyo.
I predict that
no,
the
he
Nintendo
reported live from the Nintendo investor briefing.
I believe because I was there right now as a Texan man. I got my 2 gallon hat on. It's more than 1 gallon hat. I just believe.
Griffin, he has pictures from the briefing with Satoru Iwata sitting in front of an NFP picture.
Okay, so what are you saying NFP means based on your internet nonsense?
Near field communications.
Okay, what is NFP?
Nintendo Figurine Platform.
I think that's bullshit. I think they'll have a different bullshit. This is nonsense.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Okay. I won't fight it.
This is the internet reporting on nonsense and Nintendo not knowing what they're doing.
All right.
Prediction. Prediction.
Okay, you made your prediction. Got it. I think we should cut it, everyone.
Got it.
This is like in Mad Men when Harry Crane says they're using a computer, but they're not. That's what Griffin thinks is happening.
Would the Xbox One drop its price by 100 points tomorrow? No.
Oh my gosh.
100 points?
No.
What do you say?
No.
Guys, I'm kind of considering getting Dragon Quest VIII for iOS. It was just released.
That's a good game.
You may as well get it at this point.
I like that one. Which was the one on the DS that I played where you're an angel?
Dragon Quest IX. That was a fun game. I really liked it.
Sucked a bunch of bull crap.
Shut your mouth.
Super boring.
That was a great game.
Fights fucking
Zucchini
Monsters.
I remember that game made me happy that I owned a DS. I was like, yeah. All
right.
Games. I'm a DS.
Yeah, it was a great game. I really liked it a lot. I played through the entire thing. If you play the post game, you're dumb because it's terrible. But the actual game was really nice.
Connect you know the three things nice? Of things for Watch Dogs.
What's going on? Should we call someone? Do you need
yes.
help?
Call poison control.
Oh god, I can't even do it.
Griffin, did you brew your own beer?
Yes, I did brew my own beer. It is zero proof because it's all beer. The last few things we have on here.
200 proof?
All the proofs.
Okay.
Proof is in the pudding. We have the order that was most recent being said to being delayed to 2015. You guys covered Nintendo stuff. There's that weird controller thing and that weird, super weird, let's all play Smash Bros. After E3 and whatever. More and more E3 stuff is happening every day where you can go to your local theater and watch E3 or play at E3 or touch yourself at E3 or do whatever. I don't know. It's getting way weird at this point.
You said the order looks shitty, Jeff. I think the order looks awesome.
I think the order looks like poop as well.
Aww.
I just linked to Nintendo of Japan's
purely
site that has NFT.
No, you're fighting an uphill battle, Jeff. It's not gonna. The closer we push him to reality, the farther he recedes.
No! No!
That's insanity.
I made it up. It's a fake site. It's nintendo.co.jp, but I made it up.
What would we call?
How can you guys not think the order looks cool?
Because it looks boring. Like it looks last gen. Like I played Gears of War. That's why.
I never played Gears of War. I guess that's why.
Jamie, I haven't watched the most recent quick looks and stuff. I just watched the earlier stuff, and I didn't like the quick time events very much.
I'm not interested in a third person character shoot 'em up game that is based on uninteresting characters built at a AAA level.
That's fair. If the story is not grabbing you,
yeah.
I mean, I think
that's
another way of saying
it. Right. But like if that's it, that's it. Like the Division is fun to me because that has a good mechanic behind it. But this is just shooting guys in alleyways and a shitty story about, you know, teen fantasies and getting boners and being strong. I don't care about that.
You don't like getting boners?
Yeah,
I love getting boners.
Great,
I'm pretty into it.
Getting boners.
I'm going to say, boners. Jamie, that I'm reserving judgment for now.
Read a Game Informer, a large Game Informer article on it a while ago that made me excited. And I'm clinging to that hope.
Yeah, I'm
Read something else because I read the same thing. Read anything else after that article.
Yeah, that's too bad.
You should read IGN's coverage of it because they were at the same thing and they're like, oh, it's been a year later. Whoops.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell is going on. Like, what? Like, you can't, like, you have 1,000 people working for you. Why can't you make a game?
I think it's because this is not. This is, I don't know. I'm going to keep waving my sign and say that this shit is, its days are numbered.
Oh, yeah. I think
so. This is not going to be sustainable.
This is going to be the zenith of, because like, you know how like Ben-Hur came out, right? And mm-hmm. and that Gladiator movie with the older Sheen?
With Russell
Brand.
No, not
the older. No, no. No, not Sheen. I'm sorry. Who's the guy who starred in Wall Street?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No. The one who got cunnilingus cancer.
Yeah. What's
the name? Rapist man.
His dad. What's the movie that his dad is in?
Oh,
Martin Sheen?
Like...
No. It's Wall Street guy. What the fuck is his name? Michael Douglas.
Yeah.
Kirk Douglas.
Jeff, I can't read this website you posted.
Spartacus.
Nobody can read this website you posted.
So click the translate button. Translate it from Japanese to English.
So Spartacus and Ben-Hur and Cleopatra and all those movies came out. And then after that, all those movie studios were like, oops, that's completely untenable. We can never do that again.
It was decided that from this holiday season, expand the group figure embedded to work with video games. The NFC functionality.
Dude, listen. Okay, Nintendo figurine platform is in English on the Japanese
totally
page.
Totally legit.
It's in English on... It's one of the slides says... Oh my gosh.
It is that it is designed for association with a plurality of software that will develop by Nintendo platform. In other words, figure you buy it.
We are witnessing a descent into madness.
This is the beginning of the end.
Had you collected... is that it seeks to ensure that becomes to work with video games or multiple Nintendo is going to expand the future.
If we had just let him reenact the entirety of Watch Dogs, like was my original plan, this never would have happened.
Okay. Jamie, I should have trusted you. You're studying to be a doctor. You know these things.
In addition, the leader writer... of the NFC's standard with the hardware of the dedicated game machine at the moment. Wii U.
I don't consent anymore.
End of paragraph.
Anyway, if you don't hit the translate button, Nintendo figurine platform is in English amongst all the Japanese text.
You just told me to hit the translate.
I can't do it. Oh my gosh.
I really think this is going to sell Wii U's.
We're going to sell Wii U's.
It's not going to sell Wii U's. It's a stupid idea and it makes me mad.
Yeah. There's no solution there.
Yeah. It'll probably sell figures though, and they'll use them on the 3DS because it works for both.
Oh, that's smart to make it work for both.
Yeah. Our kids will just buy them because they love figures.
Figures are great. Make a good figure. I'll buy a figure, but... we're beyond that.
Okay. I think it's time to end.
Make a figure!